Now, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard?
Not billiards.
It was...
Come on, Rudy, what? Come on.
We call it the place to be.
The place to be, yes, it's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can...
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Friscolo.
Hello, Place to Be Nation. This is Justin Rosero. And it is time. That is right. It is March Madness week, and tonight we have our huge, huge bracket preview show. Let's start in reverse order this time of what we started with last time. First guest on the line with us is Chris Criscolo. Chris, how you doing? Basking in his UConn victory.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Just another crazy March Madness.
Also with us is Matt Rotella. Matt, how you doing?
Good, you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Matt is the opposite end of Chris, and he is wallowing in Keno Davis's firing. Also with us is our correspondent from the South, Andrew Reich. Andrew.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? And finally is my main PIC here on the Place to Be, Scott Criscolo, who's having a rough day, but we're hoping to get him through it here.
Well, I'll tell you something. For all you guys who can enjoy the tournament from the outside, you wouldn't enjoy the tournament from the inside. So
that's what she said.
just leave it at that. Oh, well, yeah, her too. I don't even want to talk about that either. But anyway... All right, so I'm ready to go. If this is the one time of the next 4 weeks I can actually enjoy talking about the tournament, tonight is it. So let's do it.
All right, so what we're going to do, everyone, is I've posted this on the Facebook wall, but I'm going to say it again here. What we did is we created a Place to Be bracket, and I'm going to make it clear once again, just in case anyone's listening that is a higher up in my company, this is not for gambling purposes. We are just acting as prognosticators, as big basketball fans, and just saying who we think is going to win this tournament. So we did put up a bracket challenge just so our fans can go ahead and go up against us. So as we go through this, we're going to go with the consensus pick of each game. So, you know, whatever team gets at least 3 votes, we're going to move them along. I'm going to complete the bracket as we go and post that, and then we'll see how you guys do against us as we go along. So we'll give that info again at the end, but just wanted to kind of set up the show. So I think we should get going right off the bat. We'll start in the East. And our first game is Ohio State against the winner of UTSA and... was that Alcorn State, I believe? Alabama State. Okay.
Alabama State.
So, Scott, why don't you start us off with your pick there? Obviously, this is the one we'll move quick through.
Oh, well, clearly Ohio State. They were the class of the Big Ten. And Alabama State, the winner of the game, that game will be lucky to get to that, to wherever that. I'm trying to double check where that bracket is. But, yeah, I mean, maybe Ohio State wins by 25.
All right.
Maybe.
Matt?
They call the dogs off.
It's a no-brainer. Ohio State's going to slaughter whoever wins that game, so
okay.
It's not even worth commenting on, really.
Nope. That's why, yeah, we'll try and move quick through some of these games that we all agree on. They're going to be slaughters. And Chris and Andrew, I'm guessing you're on the same boat?
Yeah, Ohio State will be lucky if they don't win by 50. They can win by 50 not even trying.
Buckeyes, I think the team that wins the play-in is Texas San Antonio, just to put it out there.
Okay. All right, so we'll go to Ohio State there, and they'll be playing the winner of an interesting 8-9 matchup, and that's George Mason and Villanova. So, Andrew, why don't you start off that one?
Villanova fell all the way to 9. I think they were ranked 5th in the country at one time. They look terrible. They've lost, I think, 8 of their last 10, maybe something to that nature. They look bad in the Big East tournament against South Florida. George Mason only is at an 8 because they did not win the Colonial Tournament. They lost to VCU in the semifinals. But they're a really good team. I like George Mason winning this game because they have a guard that can control the ball with Cam Long, and they have size.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
I'm actually going to – I just can't get off of Jay Wright's bandwagon. George Mason has not beaten a ranked team this year, although they did have a good, you know, a good season, and the, you know, their conference is pretty good. But I just think that Villanova has talent. I don't think that, Fisher, Stokes, and Pena are going to go out with this kind of an ending. I really think that Nova's going to turn around, and I like them to beat George Mason. In a very close game, it won't be a, you know, as an 8-9 game should be, but I like Nova.
And Matt?
Watching Villanova play in the Big East tournament, they looked horrible. They look like they have no heart and have lost all confidence in themselves. I don't see them even getting on the first round. I actually could see them losing by 15, 18 points in this one. Wow. I'm going with George Mason.
Scott?
Well, watching Villanova live just totally melt last week at the Garden, I have to disagree with you, Chris. I have to agree with Matt. I think there's something wrong with this lineup right now. You don't play this lousy for – I mean, if they were playing okay and then died in the tournament, I could see that. But they haven't played good in about a month and a half. Jim Larrañaga is a guy. He's one of these rah-rah guys. Matt, you like him a lot. I have a feeling they're going to show up. You know, these particularly these CAA teams, I mean, three bids is a lot for a conference like this. I think they want to prove that. I like George Mason by 9.
Yeah, I'm going with Mason too. As I talked about the Big East preview, I just don't like Nova. I don't like the body language. I think they were overrated most of the year, and I think that all came to fruition. All the games they lost down the stretch and then the pathetic showing in the Big East tournament. I think George Mason definitely wins this game and moves on. So moving down the East bracket, we have another Big East team as the 5 seed is West Virginia. And they're going to play the winner of a playing game. And one of those teams is one of the few that a lot of people have a problem with. There's not too many this year, and that's a UAB, and they'll be facing Clemson. UAB is a team that many people don't agree should be in. They think a few teams get snubbed. We won't get too far into that. Andrew and I may hit on that later in the week. But let's start with you, Scott. Who do you like there, West Virginia or one of those two teams coming out of the play-in?
Oh, no doubt West Virginia. Solid season. I'm not a big Bob Huggins guy, but he does bring his teams to play. I don't like either of these teams in the tournament, UAB or Clemson. Neither of them did very well against top 50 teams. A lot of people think the RPI is overrated, but it really is a good indicator. And neither team did very well during the season against top quality teams. Clemson didn't beat Carolina. They didn't beat Duke. They really don't belong there. And I think UAB, unfortunately, I've watched a lot of Conference USA basketball this year. Other than UTEP, UAB was okay. Mike Davis, good coach, but I like West Virginia in this one.
All right. Matt?
I'm going with West Virginia in this one. UAB definitely does not belong in this tournament. When your two top wins are against Arkansas and Virginia Commonwealth, you do not belong in the NCAA tournament. West Virginia is going to win this one easily.
All right. Andrew?
I just can't believe West Virginia was a 5 seed. I didn't understand it. In the playing game, UAB is not that bad. They're getting creamed on a lot because they were the last one in, but they're not that bad. But Clemson played their best basketball at the end of the year. They beat Virginia Tech. They looked great in the semifinal of the ACC tournament against North Carolina. They just came up short because Harrison Barnes had the game of his life. I think Clemson's going to beat West Virginia. They have the size, and they have guards that can at least make open shots. At least they have late in the year. So I'm going to take Clemson to get it. A 12 always beats a 5 in the tournament.
All right. Chris, what do you got?
I got to go with West Virginia. I don't think that UAB or Clemson belongs in the tournament, to tell you the truth. I think the ACC is down this year. So Clemson being in the middle of the pack, puts them even below the elite teams in that conference. So I like West Virginia to win that game.
I agree. I'm going to take West Virginia. Obviously, like I said, I'm going to always kind of edge towards the Big East teams. They're the teams I've seen the most. And neither UAB or Clemson overwhelms me enough to say I'd take them over West Virginia. I don't think West Virginia is long for this tournament. You know, they had a pretty good run last year. I don't think that continues into this year. But I do think they at least win this game here. So, and they will play the winner of Kentucky out of the SEC and Princeton, who upset Harvard in the Ivy League final game there. A lot of people thought Harvard was finally going to get into the tournament for the first time in a long time. And some people actually think maybe they could have been at large bid. So Princeton did end up winning that game, and they will take on Kentucky. Chris, why don't you start us off there?
Yeah, I think Harvard deserved to get an at-large bid, certainly over either VCU or UAB. But I like Kentucky. In fact, I like Kentucky to do very well in this tournament. Their guards, Daron Lamb and Brandon Knight are outstanding, and Terrence Jones, the SEC Player of the Year, is fantastic on the inside. I like Kentucky big in this game.
Andrew?
you know, they had road struggles in the SEC, but in that neutral court scenario where it really comes down to talent and motivation, Kentucky looked great in the SEC tournament. I mean, they took two teams, Alabama and a really good team in Florida, and just pounded them. This game actually might be close for a half because of the way that Princeton kind of secures the ball, but Kentucky's going to pull away late.
All right, and Matt?
I agree with Andrew on this one. Kentucky, they started off slow to the season, and now they're picking up steam. And I think they're going to destroy Princeton, to be honest with you. I don't see Princeton holding a shot against them.
Scott?
I like Kentucky, too. I'm a little grizzled because as much as we both, you know, we grew up in the New Haven area, my brother and I are a little grizzled that Tommy Amaker's Crimson didn't make it here. So I'm very anti-Princeton right now, and Kentucky's just better overall. I like the Wildcats.
Yeah, I agree. So we got Kentucky moving on to face West Virginia. So moving down, this may be the first one where we actually start to see some dissension here because this is one of the more even matchups, even though it's 6-11, and that is the 6-seed Xavier out of the A-10 taking on another Big East team in Marquette. Me personally, I'm going to take Xavier here. I wasn't a big Marquette fan all year long. I thought they they beat up a weak Providence team in the tournament, and then they defeated, I believe it was at West Virginia, to move on as well, but to kind of solidify their spot. But I don't think they'll have what it takes to move on to the tournament. Xavier is always good for at least one or two wins in out of the A-10. They play a little bit above their heads in that conference to where, you know, they'd probably be able to hang in stronger conferences as well. So I like Xavier there. How about you, Scott?
I'm actually going to take Marquette. I like this team overall. I like the way Buzz Williams plays. It's a very fast pace. I like Crowder, big body. I watched Xavier at times this year. They look really good, and then defensively they lapse. They didn't look good in the A-10 tournament. And Andrew, we go back. You talk about, you know, don't take conference tournaments into consideration. I think sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. I think Marquette's coming in a little hotter, and I just like the way they play the game, and they drive Big East teams crazy. And if you can drive Big East teams crazy, you can drive anybody crazy. So I'll take the Golden Eagles.
All right, Matt.
I'm actually going to go with Marquette on this one. Marquette, a lot of people don't know why they got in or have a little questions with them, but they haven't had a bad loss all year. They've lost to only quality teams, and they play them tough. And they
but isn't that
really
what the tournament is? Isn't that quality teams? I mean, they're playing a quality team. So I mean, I get what you're saying. They beat up, you know, they win all the games they should win, but I don't know how that sometimes carries over to the tournament.
They got their wins, or they just play them tough. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head who they beat, but I think they will beat Xavier in the first round because I just like the makeup of that team, to be honest with you.
Okay, fair enough. Andrew?
Marquette thrives on hustle, out-hustling the other team. The problem is Xavier is the culture of hustle. That's what they do to everybody, so Xavier wins.
All right. And Chris, you're going to break the tie for us.
Oh, I like Marquette. Tua Holloway is a fantastic player for Xavier. And this game's going to be an up and down on a lot of offense because neither team guards very well. We all know how Marquette doesn't guard. Xavier's not a big defensive team either. But I like Darius Johnson, Odom, and Jimmy Butler, and Jay Crowder on the inside to win this game. It'll be very close, but I like Marquette.
All right, so we have Marquette moving on, and they will face the winner of this game, which also has another Big East team in the mix, and that's 3-seed Syracuse against the Larry Bird alma mater, Indiana State. We can move kind of quickly to this one, I'm guessing. I'm going to obviously take Syracuse. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I like the orange here. I don't know unless Larry Bird's walking through the door and is going to make 10 threes, I can't see Indiana State winning that game.
All right, Andrew?
Q's.
All right, Matt?
I'll go the same way, Cuse.
All right, and Scott, finish it off.
I like the orange.
All right, so we got them in a clean sweep, so we got a Big East matchup in the second round that we'll get to. And now we move into the final quadrant of the East, and this is another game that's going to probably kind of have a split decision here. Two good teams, that had their hot and cold streaks throughout the season. That's a 7-seed Washington out of the Pac-10 and the 10-seed Georgia. So let's start with you, Scott.
I like Washington in this game. I think overall they're a good player. I like Isaiah Thomas at the guard spot. I think, right? Isaiah Thomas, the guard for Washington.
Yes.
Georgia lost twice to Alabama. And really, the bottom part, even the middle of the bottom part of the SEC is not a good conference. I like the Huskies.
All right. And Matt?
I'm going to go with Georgia on this one, actually. I like their guards. I think they, even though, yes, they lost twice to Alabama, they are still a tough team, very athletic, and I see them beating Washington.
All right, Andrew.
If Georgia got paired with someone like Temple or even like a Wisconsin, I'd give them a really fair share because they have Trey Tompkins and Travis Leslie. But this is just a bad matchup for them because they don't play well late in games. Georgia doesn't, and Washington is relentless. You saw that in the Pac-10 tournament. Washington's going
to
win.
And I agree with Andrew. I'm going to go with Washington just to kind of piggyback on you know, what he had said about if Georgia got a different draw. I kind of liked them because they were a little hot coming in, but I think Washington's just a better team. Chris, you agree or disagree?
No, I agree. I think the pressure from Washington on defense will turn Georgia over, and I think that'll be the difference in the game. I like the Huskies.
All right. And then final game here is obviously UNC and Long Island. I think we could all agree UNC here, everyone?
Yeah. But yeah. Long Island does score a lot of points.
Okay, so it might be a fun game.
Just it'll be a fun game for a half, maybe, you know, 15 minutes. Carolina's just got too much talent.
Yeah, Carolina.
All right, so I think what we'll do here, since we've already kind of talked about these teams, let's just go through the rest of the East, and then we'll go do that, like, each full bracket, and then we'll get to the Final Four. So we don't, you know, we're kind of in the mentality of these games right now. So the second round, we have Ohio State and George Mason. I think George Mason will be frisky. They'll give him a run, but I just think Ohio State is too strong. Too good of a team all around, and I think they win that game. Scott?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if the physical front line of Ohio State will have any issues with George Mason. I agree with you. Maybe the first 8 or 9 minutes, George Mason maybe will be up 2 or something, but I think Ohio State will have a comfortable halftime lead and roll to the Sweet 16.
All right, Matt?
I think this whole term is going to be the Sullinger awakening for the NBA to pick him number one in the draft, so I don't see them having too much trouble with George Mason.
All right, Andrew?
The region's in Cleveland. Ohio State is totally comfortable there. I could see a scenario like when Louisville played Siena. Siena got a lead on them late, but Louisville just had too many guys to make plays. The only way George Mason upsets is if Cam Long completely and utterly outplays Aaron Kraft. That's not going to happen.
And Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I think Ohio State certainly is going to get through there.
All right, so we have Ohio State advancing to the Sweet 16, and they play the winner of West Virginia and Kentucky, who seems like that's a pretty intriguing matchup. I believe they've played in recent years.
They played last year, and West Virginia beat them.
Okay. Yeah, they played in the Elite Eight.
All right, I knew there was a recent matchup in there. So, Chris, what do you think? Can West Virginia repeat from last year, or does Kentucky have the number this time?
No, like I said at the top, I think Kentucky's going to do very well in this tournament. I think their guards are going to outplay the West Virginia backcourt. So give me Brandon Knight and Deron Lamb over the West Virginia backcourt for sure.
All right, Andrew?
Big Blue gets the payback.
All right. Matt?
Kentucky all the way here.
And Scott, I think we probably both agree.
Yeah, in the immortal words of my brother, I love using this quote, Deshaun Butler is not walking through the door. I like Kentucky.
All right, sounds good. So we have Ohio State, Kentucky coming up, so we'll get to that in a minute. And now the Big East battle that we have here, Marquette and Syracuse. Scott, why don't you start us off there?
I like Syracuse in this game. I like Jackson and I like Scoop Hardeen. He almost broke my brother's heart, but he didn't do it. But I think this is where Marquette's matchup problems become prevalent, and I think Syracuse can keep up with the Marquette pace and win the game. I like the Orange.
Plus, you have a team in Syracuse now that, you know, Marquette, I think most of our, we were in agreement that, you know, maybe their style would be different than Xavier. Syracuse is a team that kind of knows Marquette's style. They play them, so, you know, they'll have a little bit better idea how to scout them. So I'm going to go Syracuse as well. How about you, Matt?
I'm going to go with Syracuse here as well. The wild card in this game will probably be Brendan and Trish. If he can start hitting those threes, I don't think Syracuse will have any kind of issue getting rid of Marquette.
All right, Andrew?
If Xavier had gotten through, I would actually pick Xavier, but because Marquette got voted in, I'll go ahead and take Syracuse in a same conference matchup. I just don't see too many same conference matchups in the tournament this year. It just never works out.
Mm-hmm. And Chris?
I'm actually going to go against the field here. I think that Buzz Williams will watch the tape of Connecticut against Syracuse. He'll put Jay Crowder at the top of that zone at the foul line. They've got a guard in Johnson Odom, who is not Kemba Walker, but he certainly has that kind of talent who can get around people. And I think Marquette is going to pull an upset over Syracuse here.
All right. Well, you are on an island on that one, so Syracuse will advance in our bracket, but let it be known that Chris has taken Marquette there.
I agree, though, with Chris. I think Syracuse is weaker than people think.
Okay. Makes sense. And I agree. Like I said, you know, watching them throughout the season, I don't think Mather is strong, but they're a team, you know, that we talked about this in the Big East tournament. You know, some of these teams get a good matchup. You might not like them overall to win games, then all of a sudden you have them in the Sweet 16. You know, you're like, what the hell? I didn't think I was going to have this team here, but you start getting to the matchup game. And they just happen to have
I think when you have these conference teams that play each other, okay, I think you throw these seeds out the window, okay? Yep. Especially in the Big East where from, you know, 1 through 10 or 11, you pretty much are equivalent. And I think you throw this out the window. And a lot of teams are learning how to play against Jim Boeheim's zone. If you have a guy who can catch the ball and pass, a low post player, and you move him to the top of the zone, and he can feed guards on the wing who can make shots like Jimmy Butler and Johnson Odom can, you can beat Syracuse. And that's why I like Marquette here. And I think other teams are going to figure that out as well. And I think you're going to start seeing Jim Boeheim play more man-to-man as his time goes on, and because I think the zone is starting to become a little vulnerable.
All right. So let's move on to, you know, this could be a game here coming up that maybe sniff a little bit of upset potential. Not sure. Washington, North Carolina. Chris, why don't you start us off?
Carolina's just got too much. I mean, Harrison Barnes, who started out slowly, is finally playing as if he was, you know, the highest recruited player in the country. And they just have too much talent in the low post. So I like Carolina to, you know, to move on.
All right. Andrew?
Very hot, very fast-paced game. It's going to be – I think they're the top efficient scoring offenses in the entire country. It's in Charlotte. North Kakalaki is going to get all the calls. It just works out that way all the time. The only way Washington wins is if Kendall Marshall really struggles against Isaiah Thomas in controlling the offense. But I think Carolina is going to win it.
All right, Matt?
I'm going North Carolina in this one. They're way too hot coming into this tournament to not go pretty far in it. So I don't think Washington – it'll be a good game, but I think North Carolina will beat them.
All right. Scott, I am in agreement with them. Do you give it a clean sweep for Carolina?
I do. These freshmen are good. I'm not crazy about them the way they're playing right now. I have to disagree with Matt a little bit. I think, you know, a lot of freshmen, it seemed like in the ACC tournament, they showed their youth. But in this game, I think Washington will hang around for a while, but I think Carolina will win in the end. And I agree with Andrew.
They cannot get off to these slow starts.
All right. So looks like for our final four out of the East, we have all the higher seeds advancing. So who do we like here? Ohio State and Kentucky. Scott?
This is going to be a great matchup because you've got great guard play, as my brother, as Chris has talked about, and you've got Sullinger in this front line for Ohio State. It's going to be a clash of styles, but I think just pure talent wins in the end. I got to go with the Buckeyes. It's going to be a close game, but I'll take Ohio State.
Matt?
I'm going to go with Ohio State in this one, too. Sullinger is just going to be too much for Kentucky to handle in the end. It's going to be a very, very close game, and I expect it to be one of the better games of the NCAA tournament, but I'll have to go with the Buckeyes here.
All right, Andrew?
For Ohio State being an undisputed number one, they did not get done any favors in this bracket.
No, definitely not.
This is tough. You play the best mid-major school probably in the country in the second round, and then you play Kentucky most likely in the third round. Ohio State's going to win because Kentucky struggles with one thing, rebounding and keeping their big guys out of foul trouble. Jared Sullinger is the foul eater. He gets to the line all the time. I think the one key for Kentucky is if Terrence Jones has a great game. Terrence Jones has really struggled. So Ohio State's going to win.
And you know what else too? Not only did they get a tough bracket, it's also a very top heavy bracket where, the stronger teams, you know, the lower seeds that are stronger teams are in the other bracket. So a lot of these higher seeds, you know, are probably going to move on. So that makes their road tougher when there's less prone, you know, teams prone to upset filtered in there. So, Chris, do you agree having Ohio State? Or I know you've been beating the Kentucky drum, so.
I think if Kentucky had their only Achilles heel is depth. They only go six, maybe seven deep, while Ohio State plays eight, sometimes nine. And They've got experienced guards in Leidy and Buford, and Diebler can shoot the three. And unless, as Andrew said, Terrence Jones, he's going to have a better game than Sullinger, and he's just not at that level. I think it'll be a very entertaining game, and it will be down within the last, you know, couple of minutes. But I think Ohio State will eventually get into the Kentucky bench, and that's where their weakness is. So I'll take the Buckeyes.
All right, I will too. So we'll give them a clean sweep.
What region is that in? What's the regional final? Where is that being played?
Newark.
Newark, New Jersey. Let me say this one thing about Kentucky. Their fan base, nobody travels better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's no question. They will get people into Cleveland. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's hit the final other East matchup here, and that's Syracuse and North Carolina. Chris, why don't you start us off?
Well, this game, I didn't like Syracuse to get there, so I'll have to go with Carolina. But you know, sometimes they worry me. Roy Williams it took him so long to get to the Final Four, and now he's won two championships in the last, 5 years. But they concern me because for some reason they concern me. But because I didn't have, I think they'll beat Syracuse.
Do you think there's another team that would have beaten them, either Marquette, or I guess that'd be the only other
option? I think the Marquette game, for some reason, I don't know what it is about Marquette, but I like their guards, and I like Jay Crowder, and I think Williams always has his teams ready to play, and I think that would have been a tougher matchup for North Carolina, I think, than Syracuse. I think Carolina will use their size advantage in the paint. I think Rick Jackson's going to have his handful, and so I'll take Carolina. I think Marquette would have been a tougher matchup for them than Syracuse will be. So I'll take Carolina.
All right, Andrew.
The ultimate zone buster for the Jim Boeheim 2-3. Good shooting, good passing. That's what Roy Williams preaches at North Carolina. I think North Carolina is going to win.
Matt?
I'm going to go with North Carolina here too. I think Syracuse has struggled with the zone, and I just think North Carolina is going to bust through that zone and just beat the crap out of them, to be honest with you.
All right, Scott?
I'm actually going to beat the conference drum, and I like Syracuse in this upset. I don't like the way North Carolina played in the ACC tournament. How do you fall behind by – forget coming back and winning. How do you fall behind by 19 to Miami? I can understand falling behind to Clemson. And then Sunday they go and Duke, who isn't that much better than them in my opinion, blew them out. I think these kids are good, but I think they're inexperienced. I don't think they're quite ready for prime time, and I think – Scoop Hardeen is going to have a great game at the guard. He's going to hit some threes. I think the zone will give them problems. And I know my vote's out, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I think Hughes would move on to the regional final.
I've been going back and forth this whole time. I think Syracuse has a chance. I'm going to pick North Carolina because I think they just have more talent. And I think it'll be a good game, though. I wouldn't be surprised if Syracuse did win. I wouldn't be surprised if Marquette wins and wins it either. I mean, who knows? But I do think Carolina... if I had to make a pick, which we're doing here, I'm going to go Carolina. So we do have chalk in the Elite Eight coming out of the East, and that's Ohio State and North Carolina. Scott, why don't you start us off there? Who's going to the Final Four from this bracket?
I think easily. I think it'll be Ohio State. I had them beating Syracuse anyway, so the fact that I didn't get the vote didn't matter anyway because I thought Ohio State was going to win either way. And if they play Carolina, I think that game will be ugly at the half. If Ohio State and Carolina play in the regional final, I think Ohio State will have a 15-point lead at the half, and they'll win by 20. I just think they're so experienced, they're so strong, and I have nothing against these kids that Roy Williams recruited. In 2 years, they're going to be they could be easily a one-loss or undefeated team. But right now, I just think they're too young, and I think the spotlight's a little too bright for them. All right. I like Ohio State.
Matt?
I disagree a little bit with Scott. Not on who's going to win this game, but it's going to be a lot closer than he's going to give it credit for. I understand that they're a freshman-laden team, but they're still going to – they're coming to play, and I think they're going to give the Buckeyes a little bit of trouble, but I still think the Buckeyes will win.
Andrew?
It's going to be a great matchup. There's this theory going on right now. I heard Kenny Smith say that that Ohio State is not an elite team because they can't open it up. I saw a game early in the year where they played Florida at Gainesville. Florida basically opened the court up for Ohio State, and they destroyed Florida. And they scored almost in the 90-point range. Ohio State can score points. They're just dragged down in that Big Ten where everybody plays the same and everybody gets away with physical play. Ohio State can score the points. Don't get me wrong. So I think they're going to be able to do that. David Leidy is going to give Harrison Barnes nightmares.
All right, and Chris?
Yeah, I like Carolina too. I mean, if you look at their guards, I just don't see, you know, Kendall Marshall or Larry Drew outplaying, you know, Buford or Diebler, or even Lighty, who actually, you know, is more of a three and he plays on the wing. So I think that's where the talent is. I mean, I don't know that Barnes is going to be able to guard Sellinger. So I think the talent level for Ohio State is just better than North Carolina. And usually in these kind of games, whoever's got the better players wins.
I agree.
I'll take Ohio State.
I agree, too. So we have Ohio State in a clean sweep, advancing to the Final Four out of the East. So let's see if we can get some more upsets now as we move along, because we went pretty much by the board in that first bracket. So let's move west now. First matchup here is Duke and Hampton. I'm guessing we all have Duke. Is that correct?
Duke East.
Oh, yeah. Go with Duke.
Of course, it's a home game. Duh.
And you could skip me on the next one. Duke's going to easily win their second-round game against either Tennessee or Michigan.
All right, well, who do we like out of Michigan and Tennessee? Let's start with Chris on that one.
I like the Volunteers. Michigan was one of the last at-large teams to even get in the field. How the Big Ten got seven teams in, again, I have no idea what the committee's thinking. I don't think they had that many teams that deserved to get in. Tennessee played a tough schedule. I like the SEC team here. I'll take Tennessee over Michigan.
Andrew?
I'll take the talent of Tennessee this one time. I mean, Bruce Pearl is – I mean, this team has been very, 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 very inconsistent. But I will count on Bruce Pearl to beat a Big Ten team again like he did last year.
Matt?
I'm going to actually go with Michigan in this one. Bayline plays a much different defense and offense than Tennessee, I think, has ever seen. Pretty much going to have all guys on the perimeter. So I'm going to go Michigan in this one.
Scott?
I actually like Tennessee. I like Scottie Hobson. Good player. They're big. They move the ball around well. I agree with Chris. I think the Big Ten really got lucky here. I don't know. You know. Then again, the guy who headed the committee is the Ohio State AD, but we all know how clean it is at Ohio State. But I'm going to take Tennessee in this one over Michigan.
I think Tennessee is probably the hotter team coming in. I like Michigan. I've always been a Michigan fan. They were, and as Andrew and I are going to get into on Wednesday, that's kind of the team I grew up liking. Always was a Michigan fan. I always like to see them win because it's been so long since they've been kind of at the top of the mountain. But I think Tennessee is just a little bit hotter coming in. It's a toss-up. It's one of those 8-9 toss-up games. No matter how you pick it in your bracket, it seems like the other team always wins. So I'll go with Tennessee just because that's kind of the consensus and that's who I was leaning towards anyway. But listening to the Jalen Rose, Bill Simmons podcast today, I really wanted Michigan to win the whole thing. So,
I forgot that Fab Five movie was on last night. I'm sure it'll be on again 1,000 times.
Yeah, we were talking about it before we started. And
I love that team.
Yeah, Andrew said it was excellent. So we're all.
It's a terrific documentary.
I can't wait to watch it.
If you want to see Christian Laettner called a pussy, you're going to love watching this.
I want it to win a sports Emmy then.
I'll call Matt a pussy if we can win a sports Emmy.
All right, let's move on.
Arizona is the 5 seed against Memphis. So now this could be one of those 5-12 games here. Caution flag goes up a little bit. Scott, who do you like here?
Well, I watched Memphis a lot this year. My client, our network, we aired a lot of Conference USA, so I saw Memphis a lot. I think Josh Pastner's a good coach. I don't know if he's got the talent to go head-to-head with Arizona. They move the ball around. They're a good shooting team. They should have won the Pac-10 championship. There's no. It's amazing Washington won that game. Or Arizona let them, I guess, in the end. But I think Arizona's talent comes out here in the end. I like the Wildcats.
Matt?
I'm a big Derek Williams fan. This guy has NBA potential, and he is their go-to player, the heart and soul of this team. I'm just not sold on Memphis right now. They have a lot of talent, and they're going to be good in a couple of years. And like Scott said, I like Josh Pastner a lot. But I just don't think they're going to be Arizona here.
Andrew?
It's funny you talk about the Fab Five because the Memphis probably has like the not so Fab Five. I think almost all their starters are freshmen. They had that great recruiting class. They struggled and they just barely beat UTEP in the Conference USA tournament. But Arizona is a more complete team, even though they're pretty much a one man show with Derek Williams. But Memphis isn't going to win.
Chris?
Yeah, I agree. Derek Williams is an NBA player for sure, and with having the best player on the court against a group of underclassmen, you got to give me the Wildcats there.
I think a lot of people that I've seen are kind of maybe picking Memphis on the hope that, you know, that 5-12 matchup kind of lures them in. But I agree with you guys. Arizona is just more talented, played at a better conference, stronger team. So I think they definitely advance here. Now, here's another potential upset that's getting a lot of play around, and that's Oakland of Michigan taking on Texas. Texas, one of those teams that always comes in with a lot of hype and always seems to bail out early. So do they go out this early this year, Chris, or do they hang around for a couple rounds?
Well, I mean, Texas has got some real talent with, you know, Hamilton and Tristan Thompson and Corey Joseph. But Oakland, Reggie Hamilton is a big-time player. And this is going to be a very entertaining game. And I think Oakland's got a real chance. They're going to be around in the second half. But at the end of the day, I think talent rules here. And I think Hamilton and Thompson will lead Texas to a W here. But Oakland will definitely play well.
Andrew?
This is the upset that everybody talks about for 3 days, and then the game is played and no one remembers it. Like mm-hmm. when Siena played Purdue, and everyone said, uh-oh, watch out, look at Siena, and Siena lost by 20 points. Oakland can score. Keith Benson is incredible as a senior center. He can actually bang with Tristan Thompson, but they have mismatch. Texas has mismatches everywhere else. They're going to win.
Matt?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go with Oakland on this one. I'm a big Keith Benson fan. The guy averaged 17 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 blocks a year ago, and he's still one of the most underrated players coming out of the Summit. And I could see him being either a second-round or late first-round pick this year. And I'm just not sold on Texas. They've been up and down all year, and I just, to be honest with you, I'm going with Oakland in this one.
And this comes into play where, you know, some of those basic bracketology techniques you want to utilize. You know, if that's a game where you think Arizona is going to beat Texas or whoever anyway, if you think Arizona, you like them going to the Sweet 16, maybe you do take Oakland, try and get the points there as an upset, you know, figuring you're not going to have them going more than a round anyway. So, Scott, who do you like here?
I tell you something. I watched Oakland last year. They gave Pitt fits in the first round. Pitt survived. But this is one of Rick Barnes' best teams defensively, and Hamilton's a great player. I agree with Andrew. I think that everyone's going to give this game a lot of play, but I think Texas goes out and beats them by 20.
I was hoping you were going to pick Oakland, because I think Texas is going to win, but I think we need some upsets for our bracket, and that's a game where I think Arizona's going to go
anyway.
You'll
get some.
Yeah, wait till we get to the other side.
I think that's a game where Arizona is going to probably end up beating Texas anyway. So I maybe would have gone with Oakland if you did, Scott, but I'll go with Texas. That's who I had in my original bracket. So okay. I think they're just a little too strong for them. So now we have another intriguing matchup. Another Big East team pops back up here, and that's Cincinnati, a team that we liked in our Big East preview. And here they take on Missouri. Scott, who do you like here?
Well, Matt and I watched an unbelievable basketball game back in, what was it, December, when Missouri and Georgetown played in Kansas City. And I like the way that Mike Anderson runs that defense, and they press, and they're very tough. A lot of people think Cincinnati's kind of overrated. I agree to a certain extent. I think they caught Georgetown at a bad time and beat them twice in 5 days. I like Missouri here. I think the press is going to be tough. I think Cincinnati's going to struggle to score, and I like the Tigers.
I actually think Cincinnati's getting overrated to the point where they're now a little bit underrated. Matt, do you agree with that?
I think people overlook Cincinnati just because you have the Big East is so loaded. You look at this team, you don't think they had a great year, but they did. They beat the crap out of Georgetown, no offense, Scott, twice. And they're going to play Missouri a lot tougher than anyone gives them credit for. I love Missouri. I love how they play defense but in offense, but they just weren't as good down the stretch. And I have to go with Cincinnati in this one. Yancey Gates is just going to destroy the inside game.
All right, Andrew. I guess you're going to agree with me, right, that you think Cincinnati's a little undervalued at this point?
No.
Oh.
No, Missouri's style play is great in a vacuum. It might not be good on the road. It might not be good in Big 12 play where you play high-scoring teams for the most part. But in this scenario where you play different styles and they really rattle you and you don't have a crowd to get you back into the game, Missouri always gets the leg up. They did it to Louisville last year, who play a similar style of defense. I would rather take the defense that can score points and turn it right around than the defense that can just hold the ball.
So you're taking
Missouri.
Missouri
wins.
Okay.
Missouri's going to win.
Chris.
Yeah, I agree. I like Missouri. I like pressure defense, and I can see Missouri turning Cashmere Wright in that backcourt from Cincinnati over. And when you could score baskets in transition off of turnovers, and not, you know, and get, you know, stops, you know, and cause traps and get crowd behind you, especially, you know, a team that's the 11th seed, I think it's going to be a tough night for Cincinnati. I like Missouri.
In these kind of matchups, you know, obviously I'm going to tend to go with the team I've seen more a little bit. And also the team, I think this is just another of those games where a lot of people want to see the upset. Not that you guys necessarily think this way, because I think you're much more informed than maybe a lot of the public that would be picking these. But I don't know. I think Cincinnati is just a solid team. They don't seem to kind of get rattled on those big games. And I think they get a win here. I don't think they're going to go very far, but I like them to advance. So I guess as a bracket on a whole, we're going to take Cincinnati here. But as we move along, you guys can, you know, kind of talk about who you would have had Missouri going. So let's move on. And we're going to start with Chris on this one, because these are his boys. UConn coming out of the off the Big East tournament. Quite the run they had winning that championship. And they will be taking on Bucknell. Now, Bucknell's a red hot team. They haven't lost since late January. A lot of people had hoped maybe they would be able to you know, pick up a win here in the tournament in the first round. Unfortunately, I think they got a bad draw. Even if Connecticut is a little worn down, I can't see them falling prey. After what they just did, I can't see them going down to Bucknell in the first round. So I like UConn here, Chris. I'm sure you do as well. I'll take that as a yes.
Where'd he go?
All right, we'll get back to him. Let's go with Andrew.
I can't believe
he vanished right before his team.
This is the other. This is the other upset special. That's not so much of an upset special. So I'll take UConn.
All right, Matt.
What was that? Did somebody drown?
No, I was adding Chris back to our call here. Chris,
oh, there we go.
Us?
Okay.
It's that
yeah, I dropped.
CBA again. It's swallowing.
Chris, we lost you right as we were talking about UConn. I couldn't believe it. Let's get your take though. Do you like UConn?
Stupid CBA.
I actually think that this first game against Bucknell, who is a slowdown team, is actually a good thing for the Huskies. If, you know, they've come off these games where they've had to run up and down the court against Louisville, and the ability to take some time off and maybe play a little more of a half court game, I think, will help them. And I think they'll get through Bucknell.
All right, Matt. I'm sorry we cut you off there, but you like UConn as well.
I like UConn here. I mean, I don't think UConn's going to go very far in this tournament just because I think they're going to be wiped out. But I'm going to go with UConn here.
All right. Scott?
Yeah, I'm on the Kemba Walker bandwagon. I thought Chris maybe got off the phone so we can run to Bob's to get the 5 for 5 shirts that Nike's going to probably print next to the 89 in a row they did for the women's team. But nah, Kemba's on a mission right now. I think not winning Player of the Year really pissed him off, and that's why he went, you know, ape shit for 5 straight games. They still have, I think, a decent amount in the tank. I like Dave Paulson. He's a good coach. I like Bucknell. I watched him a couple times. We had him on our network. But they just don't have the talent to keep up with UConn. UConn's much more athletic. I like the Huskies.
I wish they had a better matchup, Bucknell, because they are a team I maybe would have liked to take for an upset. But I just think UConn's too strong there. So let's go now to another A-10 team here, taking on one of those seven Big Ten teams I got in. That's Temple taking on Penn State. Scott, who do you like with this one?
This is easy for me. I hate Penn State as a pick here. I think this is, like my brother said earlier, it's this love for the Big Ten all of a sudden, which was a down year for them. I think they got in because they got to the end of the tournament. I watched Temple earlier in the year. They're a good team. They have that good Fran Dunphy style. Slow down. Be very aggressive. I like the Owls here.
Matt?
I like Temple but a lot, and I think they're going to win this game. But Penn State has one of the better guards in the Big Ten, Taylor Battle, and Jeff Brooks is a very underrated player. So I think it will be a good matchup, but Temple is going to win.
All right, Andrew?
I really hope this game's on True TV, because watching this will be a criminal matter.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm just going to fuck it and take Penn State, because Fran Dunphy has to prove it to me. He hasn't won a tournament game yet.
That's a big key here. Can he get over the hump? Chris, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think the jury's out on Dunphy a little bit, and I think the spotlight's on him a little bit here. But again, I don't think Penn State deserved to be in this tournament either. What? Because they get to the conference semifinals of the Big Ten tournament. Now all of a sudden they're the conference final. Now all of a sudden they're a tournament team. I'm sorry, but Taylor Battle is, you know, a good player. But I think the slowdown game from Temple and, you know, and Andrew's right, though, this would be like watching paint dry.
Yeah,
it better be on True TV because no one's going to be watching that. Even the people in the building probably will be looking for the beer line early.
It all depends on how well Jeff Brooks plays against LaVoy Allen. He has to neutralize LaVoy Allen.
I am not a huge Temple fan, not a huge Dunphy fan, but I think they do win here. I'm not a believer in Penn State. And the A-10, regardless of Dunphy's track record, I think the A-10 – you know, they're one of those sneaky conferences that always put together some either one or two teams that have a good little run in this tournament. I think they're an underrated conference overall, and that's not just, you know, coming from a guy from Rhode Island. I do think that, you know, they have some quality teams there, and I do think Temple gets that win. I also think we can all agree that San Diego State advances to the next round.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Well, but yeah, Tad Boyle did get a team into the NCAA tournament. It was his old team.
So let's go on from there. And I know we all said we're pretty much going to take Duke over Tennessee as well, right? So we can kind of skip over that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I hate to say it, but yeah, I agree.
All right.
They're in Charlotte. The game's in Charlotte.
Yeah, I think they destroy either Tennessee or Michigan. I think Duke is too strong. So now it's a question of who do they play in the Sweet 16? Is it Arizona or Texas? The two teams we had moving on. So let's start with Chris on that one. Chris, you with us?
Yeah, I'm a big Texas fan. I mean, I watched them play against Connecticut, and I think that's the team that's going to show up in this tournament rather than the one that struggled down the stretch of the Big 12 season. I mean, they lost the Big 12 championship game to Kansas, who I think we all agree is one of the best teams in the country. But I think Texas has got talent, and I think they're going to beat Arizona.
Andrew?
Texas is like the smoking hot woman with the really creepy uncle. Because you got Texas with all the talent, and with the matchup against Arizona, when you look at the guards Arizona has and you look at the big guys Arizona has, they just don't stand a chance on paper. And then you look at the coaching sideline, and you got Rick Barnes, and then you got Sean Miller on the other side, who really, really knows how to perform in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and I'll take Texas in a very close game.
All right. Matt, who do you like?
I'm actually going to go the same way as Andrew, because I love Sean Miller. I think he's a tremendous coach. He always gets his teams to play in any kind of tournament. And
wait,
I
so
love
are, you taking, are you taking Arizona or Texas then?
I'm taking Texas.
Okay, all right, sorry. You were praising Arizona so much there, I got confused.
I'm going to Texas just because Rick Barnes is a former Providence coach.
Oh, I don't know. I just he's another one of those guys, like we said earlier, I forget what team it was, but we said, you know, I'm not taking them until they prove it. And Texas, to me, is just a team that always, always you think is going to have this deep run. And outside of 1 year, they really just never get it done. And I think Arizona has the chance to beat them there. In my personal bracket, I think I would take Arizona. But it looks like the consensus is going to be Texas. Scott, do you have any major input on that game or just move along?
No, I like Texas. Jordan Hamilton, great player. He's going to have a big game. And Longhorns move on.
Okay. Let's not put Rick Barnes in the same category as Fran Dunphy, okay?
Oh, no,
he did
no,
go to the
no,
Final Four
not.
A few years ago with T.J. Ford and Brandon Mouton.
Yes,
no, he's done it before. He's gotten to the Final Four. The problem is I just never see the guy make adjustments late in the tournament games. It always seems like the talent lets him down in the tournament games.
And I guess the comparison, I would put him equal to Fran Dunphy when you factor in like a curve, whereas Dunphy never gets it done, but his teams are, you know, a lot less is expected of him, whereas Barnes always seems to have these high-ranked teams and just never really, outside of that 1 year where he did make the Final Four, like I mentioned, just seems like, you know, he just always bows out earlier than a lot of people expect, and I'm just tired of getting burnt by him, to be honest, and that's why I think I would take Arizona there, but I can't complain with taking Texas. I mean, it's a logical pick. I just have an irrational anger against them because I feel like they always screw everything up. So, all right, so moving on, Chris, let's get back to your team. Hopefully you don't hang up on us again, and that is UConn taking on Cincinnati, who we have beating Missouri. So, Chris and Andrew, you both liked Missouri there, so why don't you give us your pick, UConn against Missouri or Cincinnati, who you like moving on there. Chris, what'd you
say? Well, okay, actually, okay, if Connecticut plays Missouri, I think they would be in trouble there. Here's where I think the mental and physical fatigue of the Big East tournament would take a toll on them. I really don't think that they'd struggle with that pressure defense, and I think the fatigue would be a factor in the second half. The game will be close. But I think I would actually think that Missouri could beat Connecticut in that game. If we're going with Cincinnati, I hope they beat them by 100.
Okay.
I am so anti Mick Cronin now. I hope they beat them 100-50. But if that's what we're going to go with, I'll take Connecticut. But I think if they play Missouri, they could really be in trouble, and I would probably pick Missouri to upset Connecticut in that game.
All right, Andrew.
I 100,000% agree with Chris, because the thing about Missouri is they have four guys that average 10 points or more per game, and they do have size with Ricardo Radcliffe to try to at least neutralize Alex Oriaki. My problem with UConn, it's the same thing that happened with Texas when they had Kevin Durant and they lost in the second round to USC. Sooner or later, Kemba Walker's sidekicks that played so great in that tournament, they are going to start missing shots, and it's going to be against Missouri.
Okay, Matt?
I agree here with them. UConn will beat Cincinnati, but if they play Missouri, it might be a whole different story.
All right, so should we reevaluate where we stand then? Should we be advancing Missouri? Because we all seem to be in agreement that maybe UConn runs out of gas here.
Well, you picked Cincinnati, so UConn would probably beat Cincinnati. The last time I saw them play, UConn killed Cincinnati.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is it seems like we all keep thinking Missouri could beat UConn. Should we reevaluate and maybe Scott, Matt, and I, one of us, kind of switch our pick towards Missouri, because it sounds like you guys are making a compelling argument as to why you think they should be even maybe advancing the Sweet 16.
The only way Cincinnati beats Missouri is if Yancey Gates just has the game of his life.
Well, let me ask them. Who did Cincinnati actually win the vote before? I thought Missouri won the vote.
No,
did
me, you
really?
And Matt, oh. Me, you, Matt, picked Cincinnati.
No, I picked Missouri.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I said Missouri.
All right, well, let's get Missouri going in. I'm pretty sure – I thought you said Cincinnati. I guess we'll
– No, I said Missouri. I said Missouri.
Anyone else dissent, or was I listening, just hearing things?
The Storm and Normans move on.
Missouri goes over Connecticut then. Is that where we're headed?
Well, I'm probably going to lose the pick, but I'm going to lose the vote on this one, but I like UConn moving on in this game. I like Missouri's defense, and I think Kemba will actually get leaned on a bit here, and I think – but I – he's just – I've never thought this way about a UConn men's player before, because I usually don't think highly of most of them. But I like Kemba. The guy just wants to win. And you haven't seen that. Calhoun hasn't recruited a guy like that in years, because Jerome Dyson was a short, smaller version of Rudy Gay. I shot for myself. Kemba Walker does not play like that. So I'm really high on him right now. Now, if he's going to get worn down in this game, I agree. But I think UConn moves on to the Sweet 16.
Andrew, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to piggyback. The last time he had a player like that was Caron Butler.
Well, Okafor.
Yeah.
And Ben Gordon. That 04 team was great. Yeah, the 04 team was great. After that, I don't know what the heck he did.
Well, since then, he hasn't had a player like Walker. But I just don't think he could do it alone. I think if they lost the Pitt game, I think Connecticut could have gone to the Final Four. But I think the fatigue is going to catch up with them against that high pressure.
I kept hearing in the Big East tournament how they're growing up so fast. Jeremy Lamb, Roscoe Smith, they're still freshmen. They're still going to fuck up.
And I'm gonna go with this. I'm going to go with you guys, Missouri, because you guys obviously, you know, I trust your picks. You know your shit. You guys seem to be very passionate about this Missouri pick. So I'm going to side with you guys.
The only thing for Missouri is I wonder if this Mike Anderson Arkansas thing is going to become a distraction. That's my one issue.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's got. It almost seems like he's got one foot out the door.
But you know what? Well, that might be something that lingers into that second weekend, yes. You know, a whole nother week. So maybe they do get through this first weekend, the first two games, before that really starts to become a distraction.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just move down. I'm guessing we all take San Diego State over Temple?
Not a chance.
Yeah, go ask
San Diego State wins.
Okay. All right, so let's move on. And this might be another we can move maybe quickly through. Duke, Texas. I think Duke wins here. Obviously, I wasn't a big Texas fan before that. So, Scott, you agree?
Yeah, it's going to be a closer game. I hate letting Duke get this far. But you know, for the first time, though, Duke's got to travel. And they usually get stroked by the NCAA. But they have to go all the way to Anaheim. But I think Texas will struggle with the way Duke moves the ball around. I think they'll be aggressive on defense, and I think the Blue Devils win.
All right, Matt?
I'm going with the Blue Devils. I actually don't think they're going to have too much problems getting to the Final Four out of this bracket. So you can pretty much say if whoever goes into the next round, that Duke's going to the Final Four for me.
Okay, so you like Duke there. Andrew?
I like Duke. The one thing for Texas, if Doge Balbe, who's a great defender at the guard, if Doge Balbe of Texas can give trouble to Nolan Smith and really stun him, can they force Kyle Singler or the big guys underneath to try to get some work done? I think Duke's going to win because I am still taking out this rain check that Kyrie Irving is going to still play in the tournament.
And Chris?
Nope, I think Duke goes home. I like Texas in this game. I think Hamilton's going to be able to guard Kyle Singler on the perimeter. He can guard outside. He's not a true post-up defender. He can guard on the perimeter. And I like Doge Balbe to shut Nolan Smith down. He is an excellent defender. And that's going to leave Corey Joseph, I think, is going to be the guy who's going to win that game. I can see him making some shots and dishing the ball down in the paint to both Hamilton and Thompson. I like Texas to upset Duke.
All right. So do we have is it four for Duke or Andrew? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have Duke. I have Duke. If Gary Johnson and Tristan Thompson can get the Plumleys in trouble, Duke's going to have a very tough time.
Okay, so we're gonna advance Duke here, but you know we'll kind of get Chris's take as we move along. So now we have Missouri in the Sweet 16 going against San Diego State. So I'm guessing once again we're all taking San Diego State here.
Go Aztecs.
Yeah, I will. I'll take Sandy. I think they are very underrated.
I do too, because you know why? Their two most prominent games were those two games of BYU where they lost. Those were the games that were televised and everyone watched a Jimmer. I think outside of that, they kind of overlooked because they didn't really have those other big national wins.
And this idea that they didn't play anybody else. They beat Gonzaga at Gonzaga. They beat Wichita State. They beat UNLV twice. They beat Colorado State. They beat good teams. Mm-hmm. And they beat some of them badly.
Yeah, I like San Diego State there. So now we have Duke, San Diego State. So let's all kind of give a quick point there, and then we'll let Chris kind of talk about, you know, if he had taken Texas, what he sees. So, Scott, do you like Duke or San Diego State here?
I like the Aztecs to go to the Final Four. Steve Fisher is a great tournament coach. He's finally got some talent. They're a good, well-rounded team. I like Gay. I like Franklin. I like Thomas. The times I saw them this year, they just play a good team game. They're very athletic. I think they'll give the Duke frontline problems, and I like San Diego State to go to the Final Four.
Matt?
I'm going with Duke here. As much as I like San Diego State, and as much as I despise Duke, Kyle Singler is just going to go off in this game, in my opinion. So I'm going with Duke.
Andrew?
There's much being made about the fact that San Diego State's getting this regional in Anaheim if they get there. Duke is so used to these scenarios where they're the enemy everywhere they go. They beat Baylor in Texas last year when Baylor pretty much had them beat every which way but one, except that they got offensive rebounds and they out-hustled them. It's going to depend on the threes. If Duke goes cold in the threes, San Diego State's front court, whose front court I think is the best in the country, is going to mess around with Duke, but I think Duke's going to make enough shots to win.
And Chris?
Well, I actually picked Texas to go to the Final Four of this region, but in this game, I like San Diego State. I think Malcolm Thomas and Billy White are really going to play well against the Plumleys and Singler down low, and I like San Diego State to get out. The home court advantage in Anaheim, I think, is going to be a big deal. Even though Duke does travel well, it's a two-hour drive from San Diego to Anaheim. They're going to fill that arena up, and I'll take the Aztecs.
And I think at some point when the game is this close, you know, I think at some point you go for the team you want to root for. That's how I look at it. When it's down to, like, splitting hairs, which this game is to me, I just want to see San Diego State win the game. I think they're talented enough to win the game. I think if the game was in the East region and they were playing in North Carolina or Georgia or something like that, then maybe you know, you'd have to take Duke. I know, like Andrew said, they do enjoy being the enemy sometimes, but I think San Diego State's been so overlooked a lot of this year because BYU out of that conference has gotten all the publicity because of Jimmer, and rightfully so. But I think San Diego State, I think they sneak in. I think they beat Duke here.
And what irony, Steve Fisher versus the Dukies.
There you go. See, it's tailor-made for this year now. All right, so let's quickly move to the Southwest. Here's a game I'm sure we don't even need to look at, and that's Kansas and BU. So we're going to just advance Kansas there. I don't think BU has much of a chance of anything.
No, but Boston has a good player named John Holland. Watch him.
All right, so let's move on to the 8-9 game here, which is an interesting matchup. Another one of those where it seems like whoever you pick, the other team's going to win, and that's a UNLV and Illinois. So, Chris, who do you like in that one? No, I'm going to stop starting with Chris.
I like UNLV.
Oh, there you are.
I like UNLV. I think Illinois was another team that struggled down the stretch. They were not good in the Big Ten tournament. So I'll take UNLV out of the, I believe, the Mountain West.
Andrew?
Yes.
It's the Lon Kruger Bowl.
The Lon Kruger Bowl.
This is the easiest 8-9 of them all to me. I think UNLV is better than them in terms of level, in terms of how they play together. Illinois's got a lot of talent. Jeremy Richmond is a really good player, but he never gets minutes. I'm going to say that UNLV wins and Bruce Weber loses his job.
Matt?
I'm going to go with UNLV on this one. I think Lon Kruger is too good of a coach, and I have always hated Bruce Weber. I just think he's a major douchebag.
I heard he doesn't like you either. So
good.
I'll punch him in the face
if he comes over here.
The one funny development is if Illinois beats UNLV, it'll be Kansas versus Illinois in Tulsa, and Bill Self coached at all three of those places.
That is pretty funny.
The only way Illinois wins is if Darren Williams is coming through that door, and he's not.
Or Marcus Liberty.
Scott, you with me with taking UNLV here?
Yeah, I UNLV only lost to San Diego State by 2. Lon Kruger's a great coach, and I don't hate Bruce Weber like Matt does, but Illinois.
Sure. Scott, you're getting called out by Andrew here. Andrew?
What's that?
I heard Andrew screaming in the background.
I said they lost twice by 2 points on game-winning baskets.
Okay, I thought you were disputing his Lon Kruger comment.
No, and they lost by only 2 in the tournament too, in the Mountain West tournament. UNLV's got a great team, and Illinois is another one of these teams that I don't think belong here. This is where that overinflated Big Ten fiasco happened. I like the Rebs to move on.
All right, so let's move on from that game, and next one is another A-10 team, a team that ended up winning that tournament, and that is Richmond taking on Vanderbilt. One of those teams that they're either seeded too high or too low every year, it seems like. You know, the years that they're a little underrated, they go end up being a 12 or a 13, and some years they're a little overrated and they end up being a 4 or 5. So, me personally, like I said, I always kind of side with the A-10 in these early rounds. Richmond, they had a great run through the A-10 tournament. I think they're a strong team. I think they're a little underrated as to where they're seated. Not a big Vanderbilt believer, not a big SEC believer in general, but I like Richmond here, and that'll be my 5-12 upset. Scott, you agree or disagree?
I actually do agree with you. I like Richmond as well. I think Chris Mooney's a great coach. I like Kevin Anderson, good shooter, moves the ball around. I like Kevin Stallings, but Vanderbilt didn't play well at home, much less anywhere else. Losing at home to Tennessee in a big game on national TV. I like Richmond.
Matt?
I'm a big fan of Richmond, and I'm a big fan of Chris Mooney. The guy's a very underrated coach. He has them in there. He has them playing very well. Kevin Anderson's a tremendous player. And Vanderbilt, even though I know I think one year they got to the Sweet 16, notoriously don't do too well in the NCAA tournament. So I'm going to go with Richmond here.
Andrew?
I'm going to pick Vanderbilt, but if Kevin Stallings lets me down again, I'm going to throw a big ball of flaming poo at his house, because I've picked him so many times. And let's just be honest. Kevin Stallings sucks ass in the NCAA tournament. He just does. But they're more talented than Richmond. I like Richmond as a team. Chris Mooney has them always prepared, and they have a really good player named Justin Harper, who's a good slasher. But Jeffrey Taylor is going to be able to take Harper away, and Vanderbilt's going to win the game.
Chris?
I like Richmond, too. I agree with Andrew's thought about Taylor taking Harper out of the game, but Kevin Anderson is a good guard, and I think he's going to be a key. But Richmond's loaded with seniors. They have a team of men. I mean, they have guys who are 23 years old, like fifth-year seniors, and I think that that's going to be the reason. And Kevin Stallings he never wins in the NCAA tournament. I don't care how much talent he has. And any team that's got their benches behind the basket doesn't deserve to win any tournament games.
Also true. All right, so moving on here, the official team of the blog, official team of the Place to Be podcast, Morehead State, taking on Louisville. Do we all like Louisville here as much as we'd like to have a team called Morehead? Moving on.
I'll say this. I'll say two things. Number one, Kenneth Faried is the best player in this game. And you do not want to play against a team, no matter where the school is, where the best player is on the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And I do – I'll say this. There's always a scare in these 4 to 13s somewhere around the way. I think this is going to come down to one last shot.
You like Louisville, though, in the end?
Louisville wins, okay. But it's going to be close.
Everyone else in agreement?
Is Phil Sims playing for Morehead State?
I was going to say, Phil Sims is not walking through that door.
And even if he was, I don't think it would matter.
Kenneth Fareed averages 14 rebounds a game, and Louisville sucks at rebounding. Just saying.
Yeah, Terrence Jennings is overrated as a rebounder. He's a block and shot blocker.
He buckles to an ACL.
Now this is an interesting game because, you know, if you do believe Morehead State can win this game, and if you did like Richmond, I mean, that's one of those matchups that always seems to happen where maybe a team like Richmond sneaks into the Sweet 16 because they end up, you know, upsetting their game, and then they get an upset, whereas Morehead State would beat Louisville, and then all of a sudden you're looking at Richmond as a strong candidate to move on.
Yeah, I remember one time Western Kentucky played San Diego.
Exactly, yep.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, UConn. Forgot.
That's right. Nobody.
I'm sure AJ Price's ACL just twinged.
All right.
I couldn't believe is that the team that was ranked the highest of them all was Drake because they had a great record and Keno Davis turned that into the Providence job and Western Kentucky beat them on a miraculous 3-point shot. That's how the whole thing happened. Western Kentucky had two pros on their team, Jeremy Evans and Courtney Lee.
So let's move on here. Let's take Louisville for now, but I think once we get to that Richmond-Louisville game, if we end up maybe going with Richmond, maybe we'll switch that and pick an upset for our bracket here. But next up, we have Scott's team. We're going to let him lead this one off, Georgetown. But really, we have to decide first, because this is one of the true play-in games that could really mean something. The other three, you know, you don't really see those teams going anywhere, but this one, maybe you could see the upset, and that's USC taking on VCU. VCU, along with UAB, were the two teams that caught the most fire for making this tournament. You know, I think they were 1-7 versus the top 50, or, you know, a lot of their, you know, when you look at their resume, really didn't hold up to some of those teams that did get left out. So, Scott, who do you think wins the play-in, and then do you think Georgetown advances?
I'm a little torn here, believe it or not. If Georgetown plays USC, I think Georgetown wins. I think Georgetown wins both games, but I think Virginia Commonwealth could give them some problems. You know, you don't just throw Chris Wright and all of a sudden they're going to play like they did 2 months ago when they won 8 straight conference games. That's not going to happen. I think they can handle USC. I think they'll move on to the next round. I think they just have enough talent. Austin Freeman's a great player. The only problem that he's had the last couple weeks is he's a guy who needs something to be created for him. He's really not a creator. But now that he's got Chris Wright back, I think he'll have a big game, and I think Georgetown moves on.
Matt?
I'm going to go with Georgetown in this one. Just if Chris Ray is back and playing at full strength, even though I don't think he will be, I think Georgetown still has more talent than both USC and Virginia Commonwealth, regardless of who wins that game.
Andrew?
I think Georgetown wins, and the team that I think they'll play against is VCU. I think USC is insanely overrated.
Chris?
VCU is 84 in the KenPom ratings. And you're in the tournament? Please. I'll take USC simply because they're 40 levels higher than Virginia Commonwealth. And then I think Georgetown wins. I mean, even Chris Wright, not at 100%. The fact that they've got somebody who can at least bring the ball up. I mean, Jason Clark, okay, it looks like, you know, he dribbles the ball over half court and then he gets rid of it and he goes and stands in the corner. You know, with Julian Vaughn, the two of them stand there and they don't want the ball. So, but I think Wright will do enough and Georgetown wins that game. But Virginia Commonwealth doesn't even belong in the tournament.
I'll say this for Virginia Commonwealth. USC doesn't really have guards. They keep talking about Gio Fontaine. They don't really have a good point guard. VCU has a better point guard than Joey Rodriguez. If he can control the game and they can get some balls out of that Havoc ball that they play, get some shots out of that Havoc ball, I think USC is going to be in for a long day in that first four. I don't know if it's Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember.
I like Georgetown there either way as well.
It's Wednesday, okay.
Yeah, because Georgetown's the actual last game on Friday night in Chicago.
Those night games are kind of weird, you know.
They are. Yeah. Anyway, guys, I just want to let you know I'm going to step aside, but I am going to come back. So if there's any, I'll probably agree with most of your picks. But if there's any ties I have to break, then you know we can backtrack.
We need to get the octopus.
but I will be back. So I'm just gonna step aside for a second. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. So moving on now without the dead weight. Let's go. Who do we actually? You know, Scott left right before we got to one of his teams from one of his conference that he attends the games for. Matt, I guess we'll have to fill us in on that one. And that is Purdue playing obviously without Robbie Hummel, taking on St. Peter's, who upset the Mac with two A's, I believe, right? And Fairfield was the favorite to come out of that conference. They were upset. St. Peter's wins it. Good defense on that team. You know, Purdue's not a team I fully, you know, they've played very admirably without Hummel. Obviously, that was a big blow to them. They're not a team I have full faith in, but they got a good draw here because I don't think St. Peter's is strong enough to knock them off. Chris, do you agree?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, Purdue has really, really stepped up this year. I mean, you thought that when they lost Robbie Hummel, they were going to be down, but Etuan Moore and Juwan Johnson are probably two of the best players in the Big Ten. If they're not the two best players in the Big Ten, they're certainly two of the best three. And when you've got that kind of talent on one side of the court, I don't think there's much to say. And I just have to say that I think Fairfield losing the MAC tournament is a nightmare for. And I think that's got to hurt Ed Cooley's stock. You got the tournament on your floor. You're the regular season champions, and you don't even get to the conference championship game. That's a bad showing.
All right, Andrew.
I love Purdue. I love Purdue.
I think they're excellent. I really love Purdue. I love them a lot.
They played poorly against Iowa and Michigan State, but like I said, just you can't always take those late games into account. You just got to look at the body of work, and they are a solid all-around team. They got a guard. They got a big man. They got a white dude that doesn't mind getting punched in the face for guarding people too close. You know, and they're playing the region in Chicago, so I think they have the advantage.
All right, and Matt, I'm sure you agree with us.
I agree, but I just want to make a point about St. Peter's first off. Yes, I agree that Fairfield losing to them in the semifinals of the MAC tournament is ridiculous, especially when you only have 15 points in the first half. But St. Peter's is a good team. Ryan Bacon is a great download presence, and Wesley Jenkins is as good a guard in the MAC as you can find, but they don't have the talent level of Purdue and are going to get demolished here.
And Chris, just to kind of talk about your point about Ed Cooley stock dropping, I don't think it's going to matter because it sounds like PC is actually pretty hot on him. And I think he's already had one interview. He's supposed to be going for another, from what our sources are telling us. So,
He is not a Big East coach.
Looks like he may be headed there.
I think he's going to be way out of his league. I don't know. Andrew, what do you think about that? I think Ed Cooley is not a Big East coach.
Well, neither was Mick Cronin.
Ed Cooley.
Well, Mick Cronin comes from Rick Pitino's coaching tree, so there's something there. I don't know where Cooley came from.
Cooley came from Skinner, from Skinner's camp. He's been in URI. He has been with him at Boston College. Well, he recruited Troy Bell.
He recruited Jared Dudley and Sean Williams and God, who's that other big dude that they had in that front line?
Craig Smith.
Craig Smith, who's in the NBA. Cooley, he was a good recruiter at BC.
I like Cooley, too, because you know he's going to want to take that step up. And I think PC kind of, you know, Keanu Davis was their fifth choice. I think he did want to come here. I don't know how badly he wanted to come here. I think a guy like Cooley, that's a big step up for him. I think he's really going to be out to prove himself. And he knows the area, familiar with the area. I think it's worth a shot. You know, for where they're at, I think it's worth a shot. Matt, I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, Cooley took a program at Fairfield that was nowhere. They had sucked for so many years. And then suddenly in 5 years, they've had two back-to-back 20-win seasons. The talent level is huge. The whole Fairfield town, everyone on the campus loves him. And I think he could do the same thing for PC. I think he's a great recruiter. And they were ranked in the top 15 of defenses in the entire country.
And PC could use that, that's for sure. So, all right, we'll get into that as we get – we'll do an off-season podcast. But let's just move on a little bit and let's just jump ahead because I think we can just kind of write off Notre Dame beating Akron, so we're going to advance them. So the last game here in the Southwest first round is Texas A&M Florida State. Chris, why don't you start us off there?
Well, has anyone heard if Chris Singleton's playing?
He's going to play.
Is he 100% healthy?
He's been warming up in the ACC tournaments, running full drills, but they haven't played him yet. He is going to play.
Okay. I think that makes the game a lot better. I think if Singleton was not playing, I think Chris Middleton from Texas A&M would probably dominate that game. Now that game's a little bit closer, but I still like Texas A&M over Florida State.
Andrew?
People are calling this game Bowling Shoe Ugly. I think this game is going to be very competitive, hard fought, and it's going to come down to the last minute, the last couple of shots made. Chris Middleton versus Chris Singleton is going to be a great matchup. Those are two NBA players. So I'm going to love watching that game. I'm going to take my boy. I'm going to support my boy Travis and shout out to him and give it to A&M.
Matt?
I'm going with A&M here as well. I like Mark Turgeon. I like the style of play he plays down there. And I just think even if Chris Singleton is playing, he's obviously still not going to be 100% healthy. So I think the whole matchup, even though it's a great matchup on paper, is not going to be up to its full potential. So I'm going to go with Texas A&M here.
I like A&M as well. I think that it's played in the stronger, a little bit better of a conference this year than the ACC was. And I'm not sure if I buy into Florida State. I think A&M wins that game.
Can Florida State make shots? It's been the question all year. It's going to come down to 40 minutes.
Okay, so we'll move A&M along there to face Notre Dame. So let's go Kansas, UNLV. I'm guessing we all like Kansas in that one, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right, so they're moving on. And now we get into that little matchup that we were talking about before, Richmond-Louisville. This is a game where maybe if we end up liking Richmond, maybe we do go back and move Morehead State over Louisville in an upset. Anyone here an advocate of Richmond over Louisville, or do we think Louisville is just a little bit too strong for them? Chris?
No, I like Rick Pitino. He always coaches well in the NCAA tournament, and I like their guards. I mean, Preston Knowles and Siva are, they're speedy. They steal the ball. They can shoot from the outside. They get into the lane. They draw fouls. They can get to the rim. Richmond's more of a perimeter team. They do have a good big man underneath, and they are senior laden. And I think it will be a good game, but I think Louisville wins.
All right, Andrew.
I'd take Louisville over Richmond. If the alternative occurred, I'd actually think that Vanderbilt would have more advantage over Louisville. But Louisville is going to skip ahead if Richmond is the winner of that game.
All right. Matt, you agree?
I'm a big Louisville fan. They play great defense. And the wild card will be Mike Mara, in my opinion. The guy, when they faced Marquette in the Big East tournament, he had 7 3-pointers. And he just looked dominant. He was just controlling the flow of that game. But then again, in the semifinals and the finals, he was nowhere to be found. So if Mike Mara can go in, and Pansiva and Preston Knowles are good, they're going to go by this round really easily.
Okay, so I'll go with Louisville there too. I think Richmond, they might put up a fight early. I do like them, but I think Louisville's just a better team for a better conference. So we will have them moving on to the Sweet 16. Next should be a pretty good game here, Purdue and Georgetown. Andrew, why don't you start us off with that one?
Well, I already professed my love for Purdue. It just feels to me, I don't know if anyone else agrees, I feel like the Midwest is the easiest one to predict in terms of the top four seeds, not because the lower seeds are so much worse, but because it just seems like those teams are better equipped to beat the teams that are in front of them. I just think Purdue and Notre Dame are bound to play each other in that Sweet 16.
Okay, Matt?
I'm going to go with Purdue in this one. I like Georgetown, but again, with Chris Wright, you don't know how his hand is. You have a lot of question marks, especially if Julian Vaughn doesn't play well. So I'm going to go with Purdue here.
All right, Scott's back just in time for his boys. Georgetown, Purdue. Scott, we have 2 votes for Purdue already.
Well, I had Purdue beating St. Peter's. I know Matt and I know the St. Peter's very well, but Purdue was going to win that game. And I actually, I'm being realistic, and I like Purdue to win this game. They're just a better overall team right now. JT3 really needs to reassess the future because Freeman's going to be gone. Wright's going to be gone. I don't know what kind of class they're going to have coming in. It is, it's going to be kind of like the early 2000s for this Hoya program. They're going to be kind of in limbo. The dark days might be ahead for Georgetown. I hate to say it. They might be kind of in the same spot Providence is in, and there's kind of a dearth of talent coming in. So I don't know, but I think the run ends here. I like Purdue as well.
All right, I like Purdue as well, Chris. Unless you dissent, I think we're going to move on. Do you agree with Purdue there?
Absolutely. I think Purdue is going to blow Georgetown's doors off. There's no way that Julian Vaughn can guard either Johnson or Moore, they will crush him.
Yeah,
and expose him to the this is a guy who has basically completely wasted his entire college career. He's been one of the biggest busts I think I've seen in the Big East in a long time for a guy that was so highly recruited.
I agree. He's a complete stiff. He should turn.
It's going to be so much fun watching Nate Lubick try to guard Juwan Johnson.
I like Nate Lubick. I think he'll be a good player eventually.
Yeah,
I mean, he's
but against Juwan Johnson,
he won't have any chance against Juwan Johnson. He's going to have. They're both going to have double doubles. Him and Moore.
Well, yeah, nah, it's going to be tough. I think Georgetown will hang around for a little while, but Purdue's going to win that game.
All right, before Scott really starts having a breakdown, let's move on. anyone have any argument for Texas A&M maybe defeating Notre Dame, or we all agree Notre Dame's moving on?
Notre Dame will win, but, I mean, Texas A&M is a really competitive team. Texas A&M, under Mark Turgeon, just can't get out of that second round, and I don't think it's their time yet. I think next year is A&M's time.
Okay,
but
so
I
we
think
all like
Notre
Dame.
Dame.
To move on there. So let's hit up this Sweet 16 of the Southwest. And now we have Kansas and Louisville. Anyone want to make an argument for Louisville, or do we like Kansas moving on?
I'm going with Louisville here. As crazy as it may seem, I really like this Louisville team. I don't know what it is about them, but I really like them. I see them going as far as the Elite Eight, if not the Final Four.
All right. Anyone else?
Here's where I think Louisville is going to have problems. They're not going to be able to guard the Morris boys. They don't have enough size.
Yeah.
They don't have enough size. They definitely – the guards will play well, but that's where Kansas is going to dominate this game. Is I don't know that – you know, Terrence Jennings, you know, he might be able to guard one of them, but they don't have anybody else who's going to be able to guard the other. So that's why I think Kansas will win. I think Louisville will play well, and it'll be a very entertaining game. But I'll take the Jayhawks.
All right, so I think we can advance Kansas there safely, unless anyone else wants to agree with Matt on Louisville. But I think Kansas is too strong.
Yeah, death via Morai.
And now we move on to the bottom. Purdue, who seems to maybe be gaining steam as the official place to be podcast team, against Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a team I pimped heavily in the Big East tournament. I still believe in them. But they are a team where if they go cold, they are in trouble. So let's start with Andrew on this one. Do you get to stick with Purdue, or do you think Notre Dame takes them here?
This is the toughest one to pick, and I think this is, as Malcolm Gladwell calls it, the tipping point in the entire side of that bracket. Because I think that bottom one, when we get to it, it just shows how weak that one is. And I think the winner of this game, regardless of who wins it, can beat Kansas. I think Kansas always has that lazy up, and I think they're going to do it in the Elite Eight after having a fairly easy time in going up to the Elite Eight. I'll pick Purdue, but it's going to be a classic.
All right, Chris?
Yeah, I love Purdue. I love, you know, Johnson and Moore, I think, are big-time players, and I don't know that Notre Dame's got – I mean, Tyrone Nash and Carlton Scott are good, but I don't think they're as good as those two guys from the Big Ten. And I think that'll be an excellent game, but I think Purdue wins late, very late. It's going to be a very entertaining game. I'll take the Boilermakers.
The key with Notre Dame and how they work so well is they spread you out with the big guys. The thing about Purdue, Juwan Johnson can shoot outside too.
Matt?
I'm going for Notre Dame here. I like Purdue a lot. I like anyone more, and I like Juwan Johnson. But Notre Dame, they have a three-headed monster. If Scott Martin, Abramidis, and Hansbrough start shooting it out from the outside at a hot, I don't see anyone beating them.
Scott?
I think this is going to be the first game in a long time where Purdue's going to miss Robbie Hummel. I think they need a guy that can be instant offense, and something tells me that they're going to fall short. I think Notre Dame is going to shoot the lights out. This is a senior-laden class. This is Mike Bray's shot. I like Notre Dame.
I like Notre Dame here, too. I've been on them all year. I can't really back off them now. I think... I agree with you. I think this is where they finally miss Hummel, and I think, you know, they're a good story. Everyone wants to see them do well after the way they fought after he got hurt. I think they do come up a little bit short here. I think Notre Dame. I wouldn't be surprised if Purdue wins. Like you guys are saying, this is pretty much maybe the most even game of the tournament so far.
It is as close as it gets.
I like Notre Dame. I just if they're on, they're really hard to beat. So, and then I guess it comes down to: do we think Notre Dame, or even if you guys want to talk Purdue, can either of those teams and will they beat Kansas?
Andrew, I think they can both beat them. I think they can both beat them.
Bill Self, I think they can both beat them too, short. But I think the key for Kansas is Josh Selby, and he's a guy who could score, and I think he's going he's going to be the player, I think, that is going to get Kansas to the Final Four. You know the Morris boys are going to play well. But again, in this tournament, it's always about guards. Guards are what get you to the Final Four. And I think Selby will be the catalyst for Kansas.
Matt?
Ben Hansborough and Etuan Moore, that's the one weakness with Kansas. They don't have a great two guard. Can they guard Hansborough or Moore and stop him?
I'm going to go. Since my Louisville pick didn't go through, I'm still going to go with Notre Dame on this one. I'm not totally sold on Kansas. And I just think Hansborough is going to carry them to the Final Four.
Scott?
I actually agree with Matt. I'm just going to ride the senior-laden Irish gravy train as far as it can go. But I don't want to say Kansas is overrated, but I don't think they're as good as their record indicates.
They're not a great team. They're
I think
not
Texas
that
great. Is actually better in that conference than Kansas was. But I think Abramitis and Hansborough, I just like the way that team is made up. You know, they did lose in the tournament, Big East tournament. Who doesn't? Pitt lost. They got a number one seed. So I like Notre Dame going to Houston.
I like Notre Dame, too. I think they beat Kansas. I think of these 11 freaking teams that the Big East could, and one of them has to make the Final Four. And the other major player down in the Southeast that we're going to get to in a second, I don't think is going to get there. So I'm going to go Notre Dame. That's the team I've been on, since late in the season. So I'm taking them, too. So right now, our three of our Final Four are Ohio State, San Diego State, and Notre Dame. So let's move on to the Southeast. I think we can blow through that
God,
first game.
What a mess.
We'll blow through that first
game,
obviously.
This bracket is a joke.
It is. It's a fucking joke.
All right. Well, let's say we know Pitt's obviously going to win whoever wins that game. So we're going to advance Pitt. And they will play the winner of a very, very interesting 8-9 game. And that is last year's darling Butler as an 8 seed taking on Old Dominion at the 9. So, Chris, start us off there. Who do you like, Butler or ODU?
I like Butler. They still have Shelvin Mack, and they still have other players from that team that should have beaten Duke last year. Old Dominion is a very good team, but I'll take Butler in this one.
All right, Andrew.
Old Dominion is the best rebounding team in the country, and I think that they have athletes. Butler doesn't have athletes. Shelvin Mack is going to have a great game. Matt Howard constantly gets in foul trouble, and Old Dominion is going to bang him around until he just has to go ride the pine because of the fouls. Old Dominion's going to win this game, and I got him beating Pittsburgh in the second round.
All right, Matt.
Old Dominion is probably the toughest draw anyone would want in the bracket. No one wants to see them.
In the 8-9, yeah.
In the 8-9, or even anywhere you put them. ODU is going to be Butler. I'm not highly sold on Butler. I know they were last year's darlings, and I know they have still some of the players, but Old Dominion is good to throttle them, in my opinion.
Scott?
I like Old Dominion here. Frank Hassel, almost 10 rebounds a game. They got some good guards. They do have some seniors on this team, Darius James. They beat Notre Dame last year. Maybe a team that was slightly better than this year's Notre Dame team, obviously with Heron Cody, but I think not having Haywood is going to be a big difference in a big spot for this team. I like Shelvin Mack. I think he's a good player, but I like Old Dominion here. I think they're just more physical.
When in doubt,
the name to remember, Ben Finney.
When in doubt, I like to usually go with the team with the experience. So normally, man, I would have taken Butler to go around, but I think ODU is definitely should be a little bit higher than even where they are. And I do think that's going to be the game where the 9 is pretty much favored more than the 8. So I think it's a tough draw for Butler, coming off that run last year. But here we go with another 5-12 now, and that's Kansas State, a team that always seemed to be on the verge of breaking through but never quite gets there, against Utah State, who I thought actually had a better tournament experience than they have, but I guess they haven't won a game actually in a while. So it seems like one of those teams that everyone always kind of rides, and then I guess they never really get as far as you would think. So, Scott, why don't you start us off there? Can Kansas State hold serve, or does Utah State get the upset?
No, I like the Aggies here. I was a big Kansas State fan last year. I like Frank Martin. He's a little intense, but and I think Jacob Pullen is a hell of a player. But not having Clemente was a big leadership factor on that Kansas State team last year. And I think they missed that little extra something.
He took the pressure off of Pullen.
Exactly. And I think Jacob Pullen's had some off-court struggles this year. I think not having his buddy next to him kind of helping him along, I think, has hurt them. And I think this will be a close game, but I like Utah State in the upset.
All right, Matt.
I actually am a big Utah State fan. I love Stu Morrill. He always has them in this position every year. They're always a tough out. And I'm not sold on Kansas State. I like Jacob Pullin, but you have other players on that team that, like Curtis Kelly, who can be great, but he's a head case. You never know when he's going to show up. I'm going to go with Utah State in this one. I think they actually could be going to the Sweet 16, in my opinion.
All right. Andrew? Andrew, are you with us? All right, Chris, let's move on to you. I'll see if I can get Andrew. Chris, you with us?
What happened? Did they want Butler? Did they want Kansas State?
I like Utah State.
All right, there's Chris.
There's Chris.
Ty Wesley is a big time player. The problem with Kansas State is they don't
have. I think Andrew, you back with us?
Yeah. Am I back with y'all?
Yeah, you're good. So Chris was just going through his pick, and then we'll get to you. Chris, go ahead. You can finish up.
Ty Wesley's a big-time player for Utah State, and as I was saying, Kansas State does not have a second scoring option. And you know, they had Clemente and they had Pullen last year. You know, Curtis Kelly is not a guy who puts the ball in the basket. He's more of a defensive player. He's a shot blocker, a rebounder, and he might give you 10 points. But, you know, Pullen's going to have to put 30 up, and I just don't see that happening. They've been up and down all year. They've got, you know, Kelly's a head case. That's why – you know, Connecticut got rid of him because he was a head case there. And I like Utah State in this game.
All right. And Andrew?
I'm sorry about that. Kansas State is another questionable five seed. I think that they're just – I think they just have no momentum going into this game. And the guy they also missed Scott forgot to mention was Luis Colon. Luis Colon was a guy who could enforce inside and kind of bully people around and give Curtis Kelly and Jamar Samuels the opportunity to just score and just try to get around the edges instead of having to get in there and get physical and get nasty. Utah State thrives on getting nasty. I think they pop their cherry and win a tournament game.
I'm with you there as well.
And they have a guy on the team named Pooh. That's pretty good.
Brings back memories of Pooh Richardson. So let's go with Utah State then there for an upset. And now next, you know, this is another one. A lot of people are talking upset, not because they don't like Wisconsin, but because they do like Belmont. So Chris, start us off there. Who do you like in this one?
You got to like a team that's won 30 games. I mean, Belmont can score. I mean, they flat out could score. They go like 9 or 10 deep. I mean, Clark and Hedgepeth are good players. They got Hanlon and Jordan Campbell. Wisconsin, I think, has been overrated. I know they beat Ohio State, but I like Belmont in this game.
All right, Andrew?
I'll differ. I don't think Belmont is going to be able to get past Wisconsin. Wisconsin is really good on field goal percentage on their own end, holding the ball, not turning it over, and they're great on field goal percentage defense. And the guy that I love on that Wisconsin team that nobody ever talks about is John Luer. I think he's going to be able to control the ball, get some scores inside. Wisconsin's going to win this game, and I think that the bracket works out very nicely from a matchup perspective for Wisconsin to actually get as far as the second weekend.
All right, Matt?
I like Wisconsin beating Belmont here. I don't agree with Andrew that they will go past the next round, mainly because Wisconsin never plays well in this tournament. They always seem to be highly publicized, but they always blow it in the end. I love Bo Ryan, but I don't think they're going to get by the next round.
And Scott?
Yeah, I agree. I think Belmont is very athletic. They score a lot. And Wisconsin, what happens is Wisconsin is not good at adjusting. And, you know, slow down teams can possibly match up well with fast teams. Bo Ryan is very, very stubborn. He's a great coach, but he's very stubborn.
He sticks to his guns,
and that's what always – and to back up Matt's point, that's why they never win. And last year, they got outslowed down by Cornell. And I don't like them in this game either. I like Belmont.
So am I the tiebreaker here? Is that what's going on? Sounds like it. I don't know. I like Belmont. I think they have a shot. I hate Wisconsin. I really do. I feel like they're the team every year that is boring as shit to me. But they always end up – they pull these games out. They're always the team that you say, Oh yeah, Wisconsin. They're gonna they'll lose that game. They're gonna choke. I know it did happen with Cornell, but I don't know. I can't see it happening 2 years in a row. I think they're too solid of a team. Belmont is another team where if they were playing, you know, 95% of the other teams on this field, I'd probably be more likely to take them. I just can't see Wisconsin bowing out again that early, and I am going to take Wisconsin here. So let's move on to another team that a lot of us were on in the Big East tournament. But to be honest, they probably got the worst draw of this tournament for teams, because they're playing a Gonzaga team that drew an 11 seed, and that is St. John's as a 6. So, Scott, why don't you start us off with this one?
I regardless of the DJ Kennedy injury, which was devastating, I like the Red Storm here. I like the senior class. I like Hardy. And let me tell you something. One guy that's going to really – he's already shown his coaching chops during the regular season, and that's Steve Lavin. Tie or no tie. At least he's a notch above Bob Huggins when it comes to coaching a tire. I really like the way he coached this team this year. I mean, these are, and my brother likes to say this, these are Norm Roberts guys. And by the way, Norm Roberts is a horrible analyst, on a side note.
But, yeah, he's on CBS Sports. I saw that.
he was on my network today, and it was eye bleeding to watch him. But I really like Steve Lavin, and I think he's going to coach as one of his best coaching jobs this year, even without his senior guard. Hardy's going to have a big game. Gonzaga does not have the same kind of shooting team that they have in the past, and I think the lack of scoring is going to hurt them. I like St. John's.
All right, Matt.
I'm actually going to go with Gonzaga on this one. I like St. John's a lot, but I think that DJ Kennedy injury is going to hurt them, because I don't see them having a tremendous amount of scoring coming off that bench. Justin Burrell is very up and down. You don't know what you're ever going to get out of him. And I really like Robert Zachary and Elias Harris. I think both of them are great players. And I would like to take Gonzaga in this one.
Andrew?
I'll take St. John's because they have more athletes, and Dwight Hardy is the best guard on the court. The one thing that I got to take away is that in that tournament against Syracuse, they struggled against Fab Mello and Rick Jackson. If they allow Gonzaga's big men to get inside, get comfortable, and start making shots, and they can kind of get the ball from the inside out and start making those shots back to back to back on St. John's. St. John's might be in trouble. I'll still take St. John's.
Chris?
Yeah, as much as I think DJ Kennedy will hurt St. John's, you know, as far as they can go in this tournament, they do have the better athletes, but I think they're going to struggle guarding Robert Zachary, who is a bona fide NBA player. The guy is a beast. He's huge, 7 foot, 256 pounds. I don't know who's going to guard him. But again, I think St. John's has better athletes. You know, Hardy's going to get his points. I don't know that they can guard him on the perimeter. Brownlee's a good player. So I'll take St. John's, but they're going to struggle. And if they're not making outside shots and Zachary has a big game in the paint, this game could be a lot closer than I think people might think.
All right, well, this blows up my bracket a little bit, because I had Gonzaga actually going a couple rounds, to be honest. But I like I do like them to beat St. John's, but obviously we're going to go with the consensus here, so we're going to advance St. John's. I just think the loss of Kennedy is a big one, and you know, I expected more out of them playing at home in the Big East tournament to kind of come up short the way they did, and really they shouldn't even have won the Rutgers game. So to me, I think maybe they ran out of steam a little bit, and I think Gonzaga, who is a tournament tested team, could take them here. So we'll go with St. John's, but I personally like Gonzaga on this one. So do we all like BYU to beat Wofford?
Fredesco will score Wofford by himself.
Yeah, I think Jimmer drops a double nickel this game.
The kid to watch at Wofford, his name is Noah Dahlman. He's a good player.
All right, so we'll take BYU there to move on to get St. John's. And then by request, we're going to let Matt start this one off, and that is Michigan State is the 10 seed going up against UCLA. Matt?
I'm going off on Michigan State right now. This team does not deserve to be in this stinking tournament, by far more than anyone. They got in on reputation alone. I hate that fact. They don't belong in this tournament. They should be in the CIT or the CBI. I don't even think they belong in the NIT. So I'm hoping UCLA destroys them and blows them out of the water. I am sick and tired of Michigan State being in this tournament. Goodbye, it's Michigan State. Hello, UCLA.
All right, Chris.
I mean, we all love Tom Izzo. We all think he's a great coach. He's got 5 McDonald's All-Americans on that team, I think. 4 at least. And none of them can play. What happened to Delvon Rowe? What happened to Draymond Green? Where are these guys? It's Caitlin Lucas and a bunch of stiffs all of a sudden. So I am off Michigan State, and I am surprised that they made the tournament. I did think that they should. UCLA's got players who could score. I like Ben Howland. I've always been a Ben Howland guy, so I'll take UCLA.
Andrew?
Man, I'm the decedent here. Michigan State is like Rex Ryan's Jets. You watch them in the regular season, they get, it seems like they break themselves down and they struggle through their regular season. Then they get to the playoffs and they turn the light on. And I think that's what's going to happen again. I will always take Izzo. I believe in Izzo.
H to the Izzo, man. I'm with you. I think that Jets comparison is very apt because I do agree. I've kind of had my eye on them to win this game. I do think their team, once they get into the tournament, it's a whole new ball game, and I do think they have the experience to at least win this game. They're not going much further.
UCLA has a lot of talent, and they have some guys that average 10 points a game or more. Tyler Honeycutt is a good player. Joshua Smith's a big, fat, fat, fat dude. But they turn the ball over a lot. And if you turn the ball over against Michigan State in the NCAA tournament, they're going to make you pay.
All right, Scott, you agree?
I like UCLA here. I'm sick and tired. I have to go on a mini rant with Matt. I'm tired of all this. Well, you know what? They suck in the regular season, but they're a good tournament team, so let's stick them in here anyway. That's BS. They didn't earn it. They don't belong here. And I like Tom Izzo. I'm not slamming Tom Izzo, but this, I agree with Chris. This is such an unbelievably talent-laden team, and they were blowing games to everybody left and right. And I hate to say it, it's funny because I think the loss to UConn back in the Maui was the catalyst, and they have not been the same since. And tournament or no tournament, I'm tired of this turn it on, turn it off nonsense with teams like this. If they don't earn the bid, they don't deserve it. Just because they're good here doesn't mean they deserve it here. I like UCLA. All right,
Joshua Smith, 6'10", 305.
Wow. From
UCLA.
That's like the guy, what was it, enormous. Tractor Trailer? What, did he play for Michigan? Wow, that's a house.
All right.
The Pac-10 is overrated. I just said it.
It is. It is no question. That kid's only a freshman, too, and he's 305. He's 18 years old.
Wow.
All right. So we'll go ahead, and we're going to go on with UCLA there based on the vote. So I think we all like Florida, obviously, over USCB, so we're going to advance them. Pitt and Old Dominion. Anyone going to make the Old Dominion argument?
Me.
Do it.
Old Dominion. Telling you.
I like Pitt. More experience.
I'll go to you.
Uh-oh.
Chris?
If Pittsburgh does not get to the Final Four in this bracket, which is a joke, then someone's got to sit down and take a look at Jamie Dixon. I mean, the guy wins a boatload of conference games. He's won conference tournaments, you know, and he was a Scotty Reynolds bucket from going to the Final Four with an unbelievably good team. And now he's got a bracket laid out for him with a senior-laden team. It's like they're rolling out the carpet for him every year, and he never seems to be able to get by the Sweet 16. This is the year that Jamie Dixon gets to the Final Four.
Here's my problem with Pittsburgh. I know that they have Ashton Gibbs, who makes a lot of threes, and I know Brad Wanamaker can get to the free throw line whenever he has to get one. But who really creates and makes shots for Pittsburgh when they really, really need a shot?
Yeah, they don't have a LaVance Fields, and they – you know, they don't have a guy like that, a Carl Krauser type who can create.
It's going to kill him.
But I think Ashton Gibbs is going to be key for them.
Yeah.
So I like Pitt. I think this bracket sets up for Pitt.
Yeah, I agree. I like Old Dominion. I think they're a good team. But this Old Dominion team is not like Northern Iowa last year. Northern Iowa played with a lot of moxie. They had that good guard, the shooter, whose name had so many consonants in it. I don't even remember.
Farouk Manesh.
What a shot. He hits an open three when the team was winning with like a minute and a half left. He hit a three with no one around to put Kansas to bed.
Let me say this. That Kansas team was much better than this year's team.
Absolutely.
They had no identity. They had so many good players on their team. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah. But Old Dominion, as good as they are, is not like that Northern Iowa team. I think Brad Wanamaker will make things happen. They may go through a four-minute patch in the second half, but I think they'll have a big enough lead. I like Pitt.
I'm going to go with Pitt, too. I would love to see Old Dominion knock them off, but I just think, like Chris said, this is really a tailor-made bracket for them, and if they can't win through the next couple games, at least to get to the Sweet 16, then I'm not sure what's going on. I Old Dominion gives them a game for a while, but I think Pitt ultimately moves on. And guys, I think we should try and pick up the pace a little bit just because this thing's getting a little unruly as far as time-wise. So anyone want to make the argument for Utah State over Wisconsin?
I'm going for Utah State in this one. As I said before, Wisconsin never plays well in this tournament, and I think they're going to bow out to Utah State here.
All right.
I like Utah State.
I'll give Utah State one tournament win. I'm not going to give them two.
All right. Sounds like it's too late anyway, Andrew. I think we got three for Utah State. So damn. The official place to be bracket's going to be moving them on to take on Pittsburgh in the Sweet 16. Next up, we got St. John's and BYU.
Yes.
I like BYU here. I think Jimmer, with St. John's L. Kennedy, I didn't like them beat Gonzaga, and I definitely don't like them beating Jimmer on his own and along with his rest of his BYU boys. Anyone like St. John's here?
I do. I think in a game like this, you have to look at coaching. And I have nothing against Dave Rose. I think he's a fine coach. But Steve Lavin knows how to win games like this. And Jimmer could score a lot of points against this St. John's team. But I think they're just very athletic. I think they'll let him get some shots. But when it comes to brass tacks, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it against a Big East defense. I like St. John's to win this game.
Steve Lavin has gotten to the Sweet 16 in every tournament he's coached in except for one. The guy could coach in the NCAA tournament. He got hosed at UCLA, and he may not have anybody who can guard Fredette and let Fredette score 40, but there's no one else in that team with Davies out that can put the ball in the basket. And I think St. John's has enough athletes to get by BYU.
Anyone else want to put St. John's in? Or?
I think this game, like I was talking about with Purdue-Notre Dame, I think this game is the tipping point of this whole bracket. If St. John's wins, I see him getting to the Elite Eight. If BYU wins, I could see him getting to the Final Four, because even with the weakness with Brandon Davies, I think this whole bracket matches up nicely for BYU. BYU, I think, is going to win. Jimmer is going to get it done against St. John's in Denver in the mountains.
I'm going for BYU here as well, so with Andrew. I like St. John's, but I don't see them being BYU. I saw Gonzaga possibly being BYU, but I don't see St. John's doing it.
And this is the one team where not having size is not going to kill BYU.
Okay, I agree there with BYU. Moving on, and I'm guessing we all like Florida over UCLA.
I don't. I like UCLA. I think Florida has so badly overseeded.
Yes,
they get smoked in the SEC championship game, and they're a 2 seed, and Kentucky's a 4.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody help explain that one to me. I like UCLA here. Florida just—I don't think they have enough. I mean, I know Scott doesn't want to hear this, but all they've got is Vernon Macklin. In my estimation, they don't have much. And I think if Georgetown had him, they would be a really good team. But they don't. But I just don't like Florida. I've never been a Billy Donovan guy. And I think they're way overseeded, and I like UCLA to win that game.
I like Florida. I agree with Chris. I'm a Ben Howland guy, but I like Billy D. You know, Billy D got a good class for those 2 years that he won. As much as we all hate Joaquim Noah, he did have a pretty good class. I was a Corey Brewer
fan
myself.
That was an incredible team. That 07-06 team was incredible.
Yeah, I was a Corey Brewer guy myself, but I think they'll win this game. And move on. I do think they were overseeded, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not the better team in this bottom of the bracket. I like the Gators.
I agree with you there on that point. I do think they're overseeded. I don't think they're going very far, but I don't think they lose to UCLA here. Matt,
I go with Florida as well.
Okay.
I like Billy D a lot, and I think Chandler Parsons will make the difference in this game.
All right.
Did we have St. John's advancing, or did we have BYU advancing?
BYU.
BYU.
BYU, you know what's going to be great about that? No matter who wins this game, you're going to have a rematch in the regular season. You'll have a rematch in the regular season with UCLA and BYU. UCLA won that game. Florida played BYU in the first round last year, and that game went to overtime. It was one of the more entertaining games of that
double overtime.
Yeah, it was a great
double
game,
overtime.
That was Jimmer's coming out party. And so you're going to no matter what, you're going to see that. I'll throw my alternative out there. I think Michigan State's actually going to get back to the Sweet 16 as a big fuck you to everybody.
Definitely possible. All right, so let's
I believe in Izzo.
I'm guessing we all
you believe in Izzo. I hate that bastard.
I'm guessing we all like Pitt over Utah State, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
against Utah State, yes. I mean, yeah, I don't even think they're going to beat Old Dominion.
All right, so then we move on to BYU, Florida. You know, we can go over the other versions as well. But as far as for our bracket here, I like BYU. I don't like Florida getting past this round. I think BYU, for everything that happened for them with the honor code and all this other stuff, they end up, I think, with a pretty decent, you know, matchups all along the way here to get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, in this matchup, if this isn't who I have, obviously, but if this was the case, this is where Florida gets outclassed. I think Jimmer's a lot like Kemba Walker in the sense that he's a creator. He just plays with this fire and intensity. You see it in his eyes. His jaw sticks out. And if a chance to play in the Elite Eight and face a big time Big East team, I would see BYU beating Florida.
All right, so we like BYU and Pitt there. You know, it's kind of one of those teams running through this where we're not all crazy about this bracket, and it kind of comes down to Pitt again. Do they advance? Do we have a second Big East team in the Final Four, or do we like BYU?
Karma's a bitch again. Pitt loses. BYU advances.
I actually had St. John's going all the way to the Elite Eight anyway, and I had Pitt beating them. So I think Jamie Dixon gets his Final Four.
Chris?
I think Dixon's got to get there this year. This bracket is just wide open for him. I don't think there's any question he's the best. He's got the best team in the region. So I like Pitt.
Matt? I'll go with Pitt. Go with Pitt here as well.
My heart wants to go BYU, but I think we already got San Diego State going for that conference. I think Pitt, like you said, Jamie Dixon knows he needs to win this game, or he may be, you know, in a little bit on the hot seat there for the team he's had this year, the high ranking they've had all year. For them not to come out on top from a pretty weak bracket would be pretty bad. So our Final Four here, we got 2 1s and 2 2s. We have Ohio State, San Diego State, Notre Dame, and Pitt. Now, Andrew, just really quick, made us like a quick few seconds on this. How far did you have Old Dominion going then? Who did you like coming out of that?
I had Old Dominion in the Sweet 16 losing to Wisconsin. And I actually had BYU beating Wisconsin in the Elite Eight. Look, that's way off from where it went because of the majority vote. But like Chris was saying, this Southeast region, which is going to end in New Orleans down here, This is so wide open because of poor seeding and bad judgment based on who can play whom. And it's also going to be the most boring one. I mean, these teams are all the same.
Mm.
This should have been Ohio State's bracket. This is what you're supposed to do with the number one bracket. Overall seed. You're supposed to put the number one overall seed in the weakest
bracket.
I'm
going to pipe up my pro-Kentucky stance. Kentucky should have gotten that too.
I agree. And a Pitt-Kentucky regional final would be an excellent game.
Well, Kentucky versus BYU. You know,
would be another excellent game.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah. But St. John's is the wild card. If St. John's can get past BYU in Denver, I mean, they can really pull it off. I think they can go far.
Well, they beat Pitt already. So if they got that game, it'd be another, you know, Big East rematch.
UCLA
and you
again.
Could throw the seeding out the window. You know, that game's even.
Yeah.
Let's just take a look at our Final Four then, and quickly, before we just wrap up, who do we like advancing? Ohio State, San Diego State.
You got to like Jared Sullinger and the senior class of Ohio State. That bottom gets the four.
Ohio State has the shooters. San Diego State doesn't.
Yeah, I think the overall athleticism thing won't fly here with San Diego State. They're going to need to score, and I don't think against this team they'll be able to. I like Ohio State too.
Me too.
Ohio State's winning this.
All right. And on the other side, the two Big East teams, Notre Dame and Pitt.
I'm going with Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm riding the Mike Bray gravy train. I like the Irish.
Me
Notre
too.
Dame. Notre Dame will win.
Chris?
Yeah, I think Notre Dame wins too.
All right, so our final here at the place to be, we have Ohio State and Notre Dame. Who do we like?
Ohio State. As much as I love Notre Dame, I think Ohio State just has more weapons, especially down low.
You know, and I don't know who it was at the beginning of the podcast said that there's only been 10 champions in the last, you know, how many years. These teams, you know, there's always one team that's you know, the top. And Ohio State's the best team in the country. And typically, they usually win. So I'll take Ohio State to win it all.
As much
as I want to go against the Big East.
One is the loneliest number. I cannot remember the last time the number one overall seed won the national championship. I'll go with
Florida, 2007.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
That doesn't mean anything because every
year. Oh, no, wait a minute. Carolina, 2009 was the number one overall seed.
No, they weren't. Louisville was.
Really? Scott?
I promise. Louisville was the number one.
No, he might be right. I think Louisville was the – I think they were at the top of the S-curve.
And they lost to H to the Izzo when no one thought they could beat him.
Yeah, I think Carolina might have been the two.
And every year, is so different anyway. You know, I'm all for trends sometimes, but I think in situations like this, that really has no overall bearing. Ohio State, if they get through that East, you know, they do have the tough road. I think they're going to be very worthy champions, and I guess that's – it looks like where we're headed, right? Because I think it was just, Scott and Andrew went with Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame wins, and every white man in America celebrates.
I am sick and tired of other crappy conferences putting all these extra teams in, and then somebody slides in and wins a national championship. This is finally going to be the year that the Big East shows they are the best conference in the country, and playing the toughest regular season schedule is going to pay off. Mike Bray will cut the nets down in Houston.
All right. Well, those are compelling cases, but the majority rules here with Ohio State. I think either way, we're going to have a deserving champion coming out of the two brackets those two teams are coming from. So,
and incidentally, that 2009 Big East NCAA tournament might have been, because I watched all of it because I had to go through it, was probably one of the worst overall tournaments to watch in my life. And I have nothing against Ty Lawson or Hansbrough or any of that, but that was those were six of the most boring North Carolina basketball games I ever watched in my life.
Listen, okay, if Connecticut got to the championship game, that would have been a classic final.
Yeah,
wait,
that was one of the
Hashim Thabeet UConn
and AJ Price against Lawson and Tyler Hansbrough. That would have been a classic game. Instead, we got to watch them.
For me personally,
blow Michigan State out.
For me personally, if North Carolina and Louisville had had a rematch in 09, that would have been a terrific matchup. Let me toot my own horn down here. The only close game North Carolina really had at any point in that entire tournament was against
LSU. Trent Johnson.
Horton. Yeah.
Trent Johnson.
All right, guys. Well, let's save this. We'll do a look back tournament breakdown at some point. But I do think we need to wrap up here because we're getting a little long on this one. But it was
This was a gem for the place to be. This is like the marathon session.
It was. It was an epic show, and I want to thank all you guys. Did a tremendous job as always. I am sending out the message, and it will be on the Place to Be Facebook page. To search for us there, you're going to have our bracket that you can enter for the Place to Be purely for recreational purposes. But join up, go against our bracket, which I'm going to post right now, the one we just did on air. See if you can beat us, the five Place to Be All-Star Hoops crew here. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up for Andrew, Scott, Chris, and Matt. This is Justin Rosero. We will be back later this week. So until then, thank you and enjoy the tournament games.
Come back. But tonight, don't call it a comeback.